Jeepers creepers, right, guys? Can you believe it? The best show's back. Another Tuesday night in August. Hot August night. I feel like the dude in the Wolfman Jack in the hot, what was that? Wet Hot American Summer? No, not what was that? It was American Graffiti when he was like, "My popsicle fridge is broken because we got some coolant issues here, so it's a little hot." But we make do. We got Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel coming on shortly, live in studio. Hashtag new Doctor Who. We're going to try to figure out who's the new Doctor Who, huh? Who is it? And come up with some stupid ones, right? Oh, I sounded like Jake Fugelnest there for a second. The whole gang's here. AP Mike, Dudio, everyone else, all the rest. And now, I tell you, my friends, that the best show begins now! No, wrong one! Ah! There it is. Best show begins. Hey, my friends, it is Tuesday night, and when it's Tuesday night, you know what that means. It's time for the best show, and the best show's back on another Tuesday night. We're here. It's a little hot in here. A little hot. Whole gang's here. Got AP Mike's here. He's, naturally, he's just rolling with the discomfort, just like a champ. He's not complaining at all. Soon as I was like, man, it is, the air's not, air ain't working. He's like, I don't want to hear Mike moaning about it.
just keep him. I just got to ply him tonight with his Coors Light. Hope he just don't notice, right? Oh, that's scary. I heard Mike say, you can call every week as far as I'm concerned. That, to me, is a... As far as I... Because the trigger in that... the as far as I'm concerned is what it means. Because he's... He knows I probably don't want to hear from whoever that is. But he loves it. He doesn't like... And for look, I know there's new people listening. My name's Tom... The other guy, they got AP Mike out there. He's the associate producer of the show, and he screens the calls. If you call 201-332-3484, he's the gatekeeper of the show. He's like the, he's like in those Thor movies when, what's his face is on the bridge. Idris Elba is out there. Then we got Dudio, who's this guy who helped build the studio. He's the dude who helped build the studio, and this guy is a Doctor Who fan through and through. He is, it's so hot in here, but he's still wearing his full Tom Baker jacket, scarf, and hat, and he's waving something around that I guess is called a sonic screwdriver or something. He's like, he said he was going to zap me with it. If I got out of line, it's going to zap me. Then we got Pat Byrne. He's normal. Pat's normal. And the now Dudio brought it in, this toy, basically, and no offense. He was telling me it's not a toy. So this is not a, you.
Now that's a toy.
Yeah, this is a, okay. Yeah. You had another one that
I
you were saying.
That,
oh, God. And this, what Doctor Who does what with this thing? He runs around and punches people with, I mean, throws it at people?
He uses it to open doors and...
He opens doors with it. And that's like a show you, like...
That's my favorite show.
Yeah, it's your favorite show ever. And you love when he runs around and...
opens doors
with a something other than a key. There you go. We threw it out last week. What? Who is the who should be the new Doctor Who? And we got it. The Twitter. You go to a new Doctor Who. Is the hashtag? And boy, we're going to just light Twitter up. Can't you already feel the people who don't know what we're talking about gravitating toward that, and then wondering why the thing they like is being made fun of? Can already feel it. Can't you already feel? Sure, because these very realistic suggestions are coming up here. There's Dennis Leary in Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. Look, I would watch that if he was Doctor Who in that wig. That Johnny Rock wig. Yeah, I would. That show. I strangely might be done with that Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll. It's like it's... Then there's Mike cracking the beer. He's at it. Old Casey's at the plate. The Ted Williams of Coors Light cans. More, he's like Pete Rose. So many... All the hits, right? Have you had more Coors Light than Pete Rose has hits, Mike? So you... Because Pete Rose has, what, like 4,200 hits? He's got more than 3,000. Yeah, that's why I said, isn't it more like 4,200? Oh, boy. This guy. Pedria, he's got 4,192. What do you think when that Bernie Mac movie, Mr. 3,000? Was that what it was? 3,000? No, 300. Because he had 300 home runs. So, yeah. What music did we hear? Oh, my. We heard the new. On the 12XU label. OBN3. They've got a new album out. So good. The album's called OBN3 is Worth a Lot of Money. We heard Trash Heap. So good. 12XU. You check them out over at www.12xu.net. Great album from our friends at 12XU. And starting us off, new from Barrence Whitfield and the Savages. The album's called Under the Savage Sky. We heard a song called Full Moon in the Daylight Sky. And that is on the Bloodshot label. Bloodshot out of Chicago. Bloodshotrecords.com. Good stuff. Looking at Twitter now. A lot of people pitching. Let's see who we got for this new Doctor Who here. Okay. Yeah, some of these I don't think would fly. I don't think Ricky Jay would be a good Doctor Who. Actually, that might be pretty good, though, right? Close magic. Doctor Who just doing close magic. Tony Clifton. Fogelnest. Wait, Jake Fogelnest is on Twitter? I didn't know that. The kid. Fogelnest. Always bringing it. High batting average from old Jake. There. Always swinging away. Mike, who's good here before I bring our guests, esteemed guests, Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel into the studio? They're here tonight. Like, look, this studio. Get these people. They think this show's a joke. Look, this show. Yeah, it's not what it could be. I know that. I know that. You don't think I know that? I'm here. It's 140 degrees in here. I'm covered in sweat. You don't think I know that? I hear these other shows, they just go into the thing, they do it, and then they leave. Like, these Earwolf shows now, they just go and they just do, like, they talk, like, somebody runs the board on it. They just talk and then leave. And they're more concerned about whether they got their face painted on a sneaker or whatever it is up there. That's the most pressure at that whole place. My sneaker's not high enough on the wall. Why is Kevin Pollak's sneaker lower than mine on the wall? Meanwhile, we're here. I got the no heat and no air conditioning. Drenched in sweat. Got AP Mike's grousing about everything. Slowly manipulating things. Just to make it about him. Dudio's running around dressed like Tom Baker. Whether we're doing the topic or not. I mean, we brought up Doctor Who last week. He came in. I don't know where he had this thing. But he suddenly came in dressed like Doctor Who. Like it was like the moment he had been waiting his entire life. Did he have it in his backpack or something? God, Pat Byrne is just, I think he's done. I think he's just done with it. He has to sit out there all week with these two maniacs. Yeah, so look, we do all right. The people come down. We got Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel. They came here. They actually came here to our secret location. Who's good here, Mike? Line two. Your idea good or mine? Your idea good. Let's do this then. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom Sharpling. It's Michael K. from Pittsburgh, PA.
It's Michael K. from The Cynics, the rock band The Cynics. How are you?
That's me. I'm doing great. I hope you're doing great. It sounds like it's going to be an awesome show. And I'm sorry to call the 2 weeks in a row, but I had two suggestions for the new Doctor Who. One British one American one. The British one.
Right on it. This guy's right on it. Get right to the topic. I love
that's
it.
That's right.
Focus.
The British one would be Marky Smith. as the new Doctor Who.
The frontman from The Fall. Yes.
Exactly. Because he would totally, completely destroy the franchise immediately. Mm-hmm. And it would just be, you know, can you imagine? He's already experienced in time travel.
Yeah,
he's already experienced in many different wordplay and everything. I mean, Marky Smith would definitely be the best British Doctor Who, the new version of British Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
Destroy the franchise.
Yeah.
The American one, I would say, would be Dr. Phil. Because Dr. Phil would be like the new Doctor Who and say, well, yeah, well, you are an alien, but it's just because you're alienated.
Wait a minute. Am I talking to Dr. Phil now? Wait, did you hand the phone over? That impression. Good heavens. That sounded just like him. Why are you not on Saturday Night Live with that? That was a Dr. Phil. That was Dr. Pittsburgh. Like, Dr. like Phil from Pittsburgh. Like, I love when your Pittsburgh roots shine through once in a while, Michael. Like, you hear it in your voice.
Well, you know, I try to do comedy, and yet I can't, because I'm from Pittsburgh.
What do you call those sandwiches down there? What's the sandwich? I can never remember the... Because, like, everybody's known for, like, oh, the food. You go to Boston, and you have to have the clam chowder. And then it's like, you go to Pittsburgh, and it's like, yeah, why don't you eat at this Jimmy John's, right?
Tom.
What?
Tom, I think you know.
It's what is it? It's like Two Brothers or something?
I'm pretty sure that you know that there's nothing that makes me, like, just gag more than those Permanente Brothers sandwiches where they put the French fries on a sandwich on top of it. Mm-hmm. It's something that's pretty inedible.
Yeah.
It's a giant thing that's inedible.
Promanti Brothers.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And is
it's
that like a chain? Worst. Is it like a chain you go to?
I think they have to give you a cane to walk out
of. I'm done with you. You drive me nuts. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi,
who's this?
This is Teresa from Kentucky.
Teresa from Kentucky. How are you tonight, Teresa?
I'm fine, thanks.
What's going on? What's going on?
Two things. One, I've been catching up on Steven Universe and enjoying it a lot.
Oh.
And I'm excited about the new season.
Why, thank you.
And topic, I wanted to suggest some Doctors Who.
Wow, these Doctor Who fans, man. Are you a fan of Doctor Who? Do you like Doctor Who?
I'll try to be calm and not attempt to win any internet talking about it. I'm actually really behind, and whenever people start talking about it, I remind myself, just back off. They're going to start talking Big Finish audios, and I'm not going to be able to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like a season or two behind, but have seen almost all Doctors.
Okay.
So that's my geek cred on the topic.
Mm-hmm. So who should be the new Doctor Who? Because this other guy's not going to last long. The one who, the toilet mouth dude from, right? He can't.
Well, I like him.
Last.
I think he's doing okay. I really miss Matt Smith, but.
I do like him. I like that guy too, but I've never watched him as Doctor Who. The only thing I saw was a thing where, like, he was hanging out with Santa Claus or something. Did that actually happen, or was that like a...
Hanging out with Santa Claus. Let's see. If that's later in his run...
Oh, that's right. You don't know. I'm sorry. I'm saying things you don't know.
I know up to the snowman when he had just left Jamie and Rory and was...
So who should be this Doctor Who, then? Give me a name there, Teresa.
Well, I think what's important to look for is the balance between comedy and action-y spy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I agree with what you said last week, that there are Bond moments to it.
Yeah.
Although, really, I think it's more like Prisoner Avengers moments to
it. Okay, all right.
And,
So who should it be?
What I like best is when it's somebody...
All right.
Music.
Who should it be? We're not doing the Doctor Who award show here. We're a lifetime tribute to Doctor Who. Just give me a name.
Saoirse Ronan.
Who?
Saoirse Ronan.
Who?
From City of Ember, and she's an Irish actress.
Okay. Wait, who is it?
Saoirse Ronan.
I don't know who that is.
She is delightful in things that I've seen.
Okay.
Which are not very many. I remember the one where she is, like, kind of sleeper cell agent-y killer in an action thing.
Okay.
And but I've forgotten the title of, I'm sorry.
All right, don't worry. Don't worry. I like it.
But I want to gender swap doctors because, I mean, think about it. After the time where they're all dying out, I think they should be like clownfish.
Because there's no reason it should be like a dude, right?
The people who do want to win internets are going to tell me it has never been a guy. There are Time Lords and Time Ladies.
Yeah,
they don't go over, but...
But here's the,
I think they should, because they need to repopulate, and we haven't seen any Time Ladies, but we have. We've seen, like, one, two,
So they have, that's people being a little cute with it, like, oh, don't worry, there's ladies who are Time Lords. But it's like, yeah, but the show's never been about, look, also, they shouldn't be British. Why are they all British? Like, what about, like, an American Doctor Who, right? You tell me you wouldn't want to see Brad Garrett as Doctor Who?
Oh,
you wouldn't want to see that? Doctor Who, giant guy bending over to fit into his phone booth TARDIS thing, right?
Go get to the TARDIS now.
Well, that's the other thing. We haven't had very many plus.
He'd be mad at
Doctor Who.
Yeah. I think it's time to crack the whole thing open. Enough with these British dudes.
And, well, like, my favorite doctor in the old series was Don Pertwee, who is a comedian, and a comedian in a dramatic role is really interesting to me. They have him...
Which one was he? The one who looks like...
The one who looks all dandy-ish in the 60s. Like, there are episodes...
The one who drove a car. The one when suddenly they're like, yeah, Doctor Who drives cars now, and...
Yeah, and I feel like the set design is kind of taking the series back to that.
Okay. And Mike's giving me the sign I got to move on here.
Okay.
So, well thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye. My friends, I need to tell you about something very near and dear to me. And I want you to listen. I want you to listen good. I want to talk to you about security. You got your office, your home, whatever is important to you. You want to keep an eye on your stuff and make sure it's okay when you're not around, right? You gotta make sure that stuff is all right. Like this studio here, I gotta watch this, make sure I'm not here. I don't want to find out that Dudio is doing his Doctor Who dance routine when I'm not around. I need to keep an eye on stuff. So that's why I want to tell you all about Foscam. That's right. The Foscam C1 HD 720p indoor Wi-Fi security camera lets you keep track of all your stuff. You can watch the place you want to keep tabs on. You watch the feed on your computer, table, or mobile phone. All through the free app available at Google Play Store and iTunes App Store. It's small and versatile with a super wide viewing angle. HD 720 video feed resolution, up to 26 feet of night vision, motion detection, 2-way audio, and it's only a 60-second setup. That way you keep an eye on all your stuff. Foscam C1 HD 720p indoor Wi-Fi security camera. $69.99, and you can get $10 off per camera with the code BESTSHOW. How do you do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. You go to Foscam, foscam.us/C1. And you go to their Amazon page where you can use the code BESTSHOW to get $10 off each C1 that you purchase. Again, that's foscam.us/C1. $10 off with every C1. Use offer code BESTSHOW.
Your purchase also gets you lifetime support and a 30-day money-back guarantee and a one-year warranty on every purchase. Foscam, watch what you love anywhere. I'm going to wire this place like nobody's business. Keep an eye on all this stuff. I don't trust anyone here anymore. I'm surrounded. Surrounded by traitors. Traitors, right? Guys, like, everyone's got agendas around here. Let me take one more call, then I'll bring my guests in here. Who's good here, Mike? One. Best show, you're on the air. Hello? What's that? They're just honking. This is good, people. Yeah. People doing all the comedy routines. Oh, boy. Studio, would you please show my guests to the studio, please? And if they do they have beverages? Please invite them to any beverage, anything they want. Oh, so hot in here. I apologize.
I apologize. I took off my suit jacket.
Apologize. Yeah, it's like you're so fancily dressed, the both of you. Yes. One, two, three. Okay, we get that. We got that. We got Paul Scheer is here. We got Rob Hubel's here. Look at this. Actual stars are in studio. See, the stars come out.
It feels nice in here.
Get this pile of trash out of here. Your toy.
I can hear.
Can you hear?
Yeah,
can
perfect.
Okay. So, there we go. Dudio, he's an artist with the knobs. It's like a beautiful mind. He just paints. Painting.
Check. Yeah. Oh,
check.
There we go.
Check.
That pair right there, too.
Okay.
If that's having an issue.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not going to do it. Well, I'm just going to talk. I'm going to say, my friends. Oh, I need to tell you guys, Sharpling and Worcester live. This, we're doing end of August, beginning of September, live shows. On the West Coast. You bought your tickets?
For the L.A. show.
Well, that's nice. You didn't have to buy, but I'm glad you did.
I want to support the show.
Well, let me tell you, Rob Hubel, we start off in Seattle. We will be at Numo's in Seattle on Thursday, August 27th. And then Portland, Oregon, sold out.
Oh, wow.
It's sold out. Sorry, Portland. Doug Fir, sold out. Thursday, September 3rd. San Francisco, the Great American Music Hall. And the road adventure ends September 5th in Los Angeles at the El Rey Theater.
El Rey is a big venue.
Yeah. Oh, no. I know.
Those are all party towns.
They are party towns.
We're in the party towns.
We really...
You got some fots there, man.
Took it to the party. We're playing to the party community.
Yeah.
You know, we're tilting things into the party vibe because it's just kind of... That's what... We figure, you know, by that point, Jimmy Buffett's wrapping up his tour, and we can kind of...
Oh, those parrot heads.
Yeah, there was a period of time I was touring around in a short-form improv group that toured the country, and wherever we went, we were following Carrot Top.
Uh-huh.
And we would always get like, Carrot Top just came through, and so people are just kind of, they're all comedied out. So, you know.
They're all comedied out. That's.
So, Buffett. He might just suck the energy, you know.
Yeah. I was listening to his station on satellite radio. There's like the Jimmy Buffett station.
Margaritaville, you mean?
I think it was Margaret, right? It was Margaret.
I mean, it has to be.
I think it was something like that. And he had this, like, and it was like weird, like, live tracks. But it's just like digging deep on, and it was like this live version
that he was playing.
Yeah, it was like him playing a cover of this Crosby, Stills, and Nash song, Southern Cross. You know that song, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
You like it?
Not anymore.
It's a Stephen Stills number.
Did you like it before Buffett covered it?
No, I didn't like any of it at all. From the Crosby, Stills, and Nash on to the version I heard, I didn't like any of it.
I I ate at a Margaritaville.
Uh-huh.
Where all they do is play live footage of Jimmy Buffett concerts on all the TVs. So it's like a sports bar, but with Jimmy Buffett on multiple screens and then like miniature planes. Uh-huh. And like Jimmy Buffett has created this persona of this island kind of warrior. Yeah,
this industry.
Which, I mean, he did portray great on Hawaii Five-0 season one as he teamed up with the guys to help them get into Cuba.
You're assuming we've seen Hawaii Five-0 season one.
Oh, yeah. If you haven't, you've missed out on some great stuff. Scott Kahn's from New Jersey.
Yes.
And he likes things
We're
a certain way.
We're very proud of that. Yeah. We're very proud. We you know, talk Scott, about it all the time.
Scott Kahn will say things like, you guys put pineapple on this pizza? Well, I don't get Hawaii. He doesn't get Hawaii. You know, cause
that's a good Scott Kahn. Why are you not on Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, why were you not on Entourage?
Well, I actually auditioned for that role that Scott Kahn got.
Did you really?
I did. You probably did, too.
In Entourage?
Yeah.
I don't know if I auditioned for the Entourage movie.
No, the TV show.
Oh,
for
shit.
The Scott Kahn role.
Yes. That Scott Kahn played Scott on the show. It's always one of those. Do you ever play a Paul or a Rob in a thing where you're just like?
I try. It's confusing.
Yeah.
It's, you know.
Where they're just like. Because Tony Danza, every other thing he played, he was Tony.
Yeah. That's the only name you could give him, really.
They were like,
didn't you say Will Smith does that?
Well, yeah. I said Will Smith, I guess, gave someone advice about TV show. He's like, whatever show you do, just make sure that whatever your first name is the first name of your character on the TV show, because they'll call you that for the rest of your life, and you don't want to walk around and people just shout out a fake name.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
make sure of that.
Yeah, it worked for Bill Cosby, so.
That sounds like the kind of thing. Let's just make sure.
Dr. William H. Cosby.
I wonder how that would be to go over on a set and be like, hey, who do I talk to about making sure this character has my first name here? It's like,
I want to audition for it, but I just want the name to be mine.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't read for this. His name isn't Tom.
This character.
His name is not my name.
Yeah, I can't do this. Now, you guys.
I want to ask you a question. Before. I want to ask you one question.
That's aggressive. That's an aggressive move. That's an aggressive move.
I'm great at now.
Duty of holding.
Oh, sure. I'm here in the studio. I'm excited to be here in the studio.
Yeah.
Is this the launch of, I guess, the Friends of Tom Network? Are there going to be other shows in here? Is this going to be a factory? Are you going to be like the next
Joe? I'm available, man.
Joe Rogan.
I don't do a show.
The next Adam Carolla. Are you going to have like a Tom?
Wait, you don't have
cars.
A sneaker on the wall.
I don't
have an earwolf.
No.
What about Mike?
I don't have a show. Oh, that wasn't me. Well, I mean, I didn't.
You were on that.
Yeah, I read.
You were Mike.
Yeah. It's Scott Aukerman. He wrote that.
You sure you're not? Oh, that's. Oh, this is just going.
You know what? I think maybe. I think I'm going to stick with Earwolf. I think you're right.
Yeah.
There's just a guy in the alley pounding on a trash can.
Cats just running through the alley.
I think I'm going to stick with. Maybe I'll go with
Earwolf. That was right there. I could not have lost ground negotiation wise more.
Guys, you got to get on my network.
Here's my pitch. I need you on board my network. And then a guy drags a garbage can 3 feet away from you. Outside a window because there's no air conditioning.
You just can't record on garbage day.
Not as a
that's it.
Not as a comedy bit, like a real guy living his life.
Yeah, it's. Come on, Fred. I told you, you take the garbage out after the show's over. You're blowing my thing. I lost a big deal. Rob Hubel stormed out of here.
You know,
now.
Like when
that would have been huge.
A lot of the times when we're on set on the league, we shoot in the valley, the Encino, like outside of LA, and it's a very rich area, and they understand how TV works.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's seen Encino Man.
Well, I'm explaining
Man,
it for some of the people in the audience, too.
Everyone's seen Encino Man. They know.
Oh, yeah, Encino Man.
So it's a rich neighborhood.
But they're very rich, and they tried to screw with production. So when they know that you're there, like you'll just have a guy in the front lawn who's never used a mower.
Yeah, just hoping someone just hands him $50.
Yeah, some PA's got to pay him off.
So what I'm thinking is maybe you can run somebody out in that alley and drop some money on that guy.
Mike,
yeah.
Behind your almond crunchers, there's a stack of $100 bills. Go give the guy in the alley one to stop dragging his garbage can around. Now, you guys, all kidding aside, you guys, serious business, real talk.
Yeah.
Today was an exciting day for the two of you.
Well, yeah, it was pretty great.
Big day.
I also just want to say.
Big day in the streaming world.
Family friendly.
Yeah.
Last week we had Jack Black went off on a
tirade of F-bombs. We're trying to run this as if it's a...
Oh, is that, family. Is that
we just
true?
Try to keep, yeah, we try to keep it.
Okay, good.
Try to keep it on the right side.
I know.
Just, I need...
You didn't stern it up. You didn't leave and then come to a place so you could curse it out.
Yeah, to me, that's just like, wait, your mouth can form curses? Oh, my goodness. This is the most exciting thing I've ever seen. It's like, yeah, everybody can... curse.
Well, is the show religious in nature?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got a core. We try to, it's like stealth in that way.
Try to work it in every now and then.
Yeah, exactly.
Very subtle.
Like I'll just say at the end of a thing, we'll just say, praise him. I hope nobody notices that we're slipping the message in. And then we
casually
talk,
reference Kirk Cameron films.
Yeah, we talk about some Kirk Cameron movies. We talk about the bar Mike works at, but it's actually a church when you go there. When people go hang out with Mike. Wait, this isn't a bar. Mike is in a full. What would
but
that
you
be?
You go there and you leave so high. You know, you leave just full of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
And fellowship. Yeah. It's about fellowship.
It is about fellowship. So I think it's a carryover from doing it on the radio that I just didn't feel like adding.
There's no reason.
The toilet.
My mom always says that. My mom always says there's no need to swear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you guys are funny without that.
You don't need to swear.
You guys, no. I've seen you do it without cursing, and I've seen you do it with cursing.
You don't need the cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise him.
Praise him.
Thank you. There we go. We're keeping... It's working. But you have a special that dropped. Today, ooh, right? Gosh. Today?
Yeah,
we have a comedy special.
Use that rock star.
Yeah, we did.
Lingo.
We did a comedy special that I think is not the normal of a comedy special. Mm-hmm. It's not a stand-up special.
No.
It's kind of what Rob and I do. Rob and I have been doing this show, Crash Test, at UCB for like 10 years.
Yeah.
And that's like a mix of stand-up and weird stuff and bits and...
music.
Character. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just kind of a screw-around show, but mostly stand-up. Mostly stand-up.
Yeah. And so we decided to take that show and put it on a moving bus and drive that bus around L.A. with a full audience inside. Yeah. It's a glass bus.
But it's not. Yeah, it's not a normal bus, Tom. I mean, obviously, you look puzzled, so I'll explain it.
Because I was like, wait, so it's, what is this, shot on like a GoPro? You guys,
there's a lot of GoPros.
There were some GoPros.
But it's more than GoPros.
Those are overhyped, I think. But we should have shot it on drones. That would have been
awesome. That would have. Yeah. Just drones outside of a bus, like hovering.
Yeah, it's following us.
Have you ever seen that GoPro channel on Virgin America?
I watch it. Yeah, I watch it.
It's just like, in case I'm not like nauseous on the plane.
Yeah,
let me watch things.
a guy base jumping.
Yeah, exactly.
I got a GoPro, and I am. I'm not a good skier. I'm an average skier at best. And
you know what?
I've
skied with you. You're not average.
I'm below average.
Yeah, you're below average.
No, I took some lessons. I've been better now.
Oh.
But when you watch me.
The gauntlet has been thrown down. I'll see you on the slopes.
When you see me.
Great, I'll see you out there.
When you see me those green circles on my GoPro, it's just like you're there, man. Yeah. You're just going down the mountain at 5-10 miles an hour, just eating that snow. Yeah.
Would that be the most boring thing? Is that more boring than watching someone play video games?
I feel like
watching someone's GoPro footage of them being average on a snowboard.
I'm obsessed with Twitch. I feel like Twitch is the dumbest thing. These people shirts off playing video games, giving shout outs to people.
Wait, I don't even know what that is.
Twitch is like a
is this
format.
Because you have a kid? You know what this is? Like I don't have
my
a baby.
My kid is 15 months old. He's not playing Halo yet.
This is the Wolf Pop thing.
Okay.
He knows what Twitch is.
Okay.
Twitch is basically like a channel where you can watch people play video games well.
Yeah.
And like the most, and the people who win in video game awards, it's like the prizes are bigger than like the U.S. Open.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
There's a team at some college now. Like they have, because they have arenas, and so now they know that they can have like teams at colleges, and then it will draw a crowd. So that's business for the school.
Yeah.
So they're like offering scholarships.
Yeah, a video game.
I'm really good at Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4.
Yeah.
The Bobby Knight of video game coaching.
Yeah,
come on,
Jerry
guys.
Tarkanian throwing a chair, biting a towel.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah. I'm not gonna go. You guys are not gonna like me, but you're gonna respect me. Now pick up your remote. Pick up your controllers
and go
let's play some
Go get
Madden.
Go get the goblin.
Co-op Madden.
Yeah. I like when people who don't know a whole lot about video games try to be condescending.
Imagine.
You guys play that GoldenEye still? You guys playing that GoldenEye?
GoldenEye from 19 years ago. So we take a little scenic detour there. GoPro was filmed on this bus. It's Rob Hubel. It's Paul Scheer. You're on a bus. You're driving around Los Angeles.
So if you picture a normal bus, you're facing the driver. All the seats are facing the driver.
Yeah.
This bus, all the seats face one side, and they're stadium seating.
It's like movie theater.
Okay. Yeah. And then one side of the bus is completely glass. Mm-hmm. So
our idea was that most of our comedy friends, they're lazy. They're really lazy. It's hard to get them to come out and do the show. So we said, well, all right, we'll bring the audience to you. Mm-hmm. So that's all we did. We just drove the audience to different people's houses and said, come outside. Mm-hmm. We're right outside.
Yeah.
And here's a microphone. Mm-hmm. And then so, so they came out and they just either did stand up or they do a bit, you know, some kind of sketch or something. So,
and then they go back in their home.
And then they just go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. But the fun thing about it was, like, we wanted to do like a special that felt like a UCB show. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, that we only did it once. Everything that you see in the special is we did everything one time. We never had any rehearsal, and we just kind of shot fat, and then we kind of edited it down.
Yeah.
But we tried to keep it feeling a little bit more alive and a little bit different.
So we went around and we tracked down like Aziz and Rob Corddry and
Aubrey Plaza.
Mm-hmm.
Our friend Earl Sweatshirt. The Odd Future guys have been on this show, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Earl Sweatshirt's been on the show.
Tyler.
It's not Earl the Sweatshirt.
No,
it's Earl of Sweatshirts.
Earl of Sweatshirt. He's the Earl of Sweatshirts.
Yeah. Someone said that today. We were talking to somebody. They go, so how was Earl of Sweatshirts? And we're like, oh, he was great. He's a really nice guy.
His fiefdom is working out quite great.
Who else is on the show? Tom and Ben.
Tom and Ben doing a Reno 911 reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Jack McBrayer.
Natasha Leggero.
Seth Morris is Bob Duca. Some fun people.
People you would like, Tom.
But this is the one point I'm a little nervous about this thing is it's a little true or false. It's very pricey to get your hands on this thing.
Hey, no, Tom, that's the thing. Here's the thing. You can get this.
I feel like that was a setup.
Yeah. Here's the thing.
It was a softball.
It's only $399.
Okay.
$399.
$399?
Well, no. Okay.
Originally,
our first idea was let's do $4.
Mm-hmm.
And then Paul had the great idea. He said,
you know what? I like our audience. I respect our audience. And I don't want to get them out. $3.99.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's make it cheap.
Yeah.
$3.99 out of four. And, so you can get it on Vimeo, Vimeo on demand, or go to crashtestshow.com. But, it was fun. We got to go do this.
It's
crazy
fun, and
we
made something that we really like. So all we care about is just making our own stuff.
It does have a lot of trash mouth talk.
Trying to get it out. It is dirty. This show that we're doing right now is not dirty. The show that we put out there on Vimeo, there's some swear words.
Pure raunch.
There's a lot of swear words.
Yeah.
There is a lot of raunch.
Well, because we didn't. We never told anyone, don't do it.
When I sent it to you, I was like, oh, Tom, it's too much dirtiness for Tom in these first couple of minutes. I got there.
You know, I usually walk out of I walked out of Man from U.N.C.L.E. the other day because someone said the H. They said the H word.
Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Like, I know. You don't want to. Yeah.
I walked out of Jurassic Park because, you know, those dinosaurs, they're making scary noises. But it's just as good as a swear word.
Can I talk about one thing that I feel like is deserved to be addressed here?
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy is directing Jurassic World. Is going to direct a new The third Star Wars?
Praise him.
Are we okay with that?
Praise him.
Are we okay with this guy directing the third Star Wars? He seems to me to be absolutely humorless. Uh-huh. And I didn't like Jurassic World. Did you like Jurassic World?
You're throwing down.
I feel bad. Maybe he'll be great. Maybe he'll be great.
Well, it looks like somebody is not going to get the role of Zorp Bebop in the new Star Wars 9.
I want your people listening right now to
Zorp Bebop.
Like if you're, I'm gonna do it here to
the
see if
bounty
I
bounty hunter. Can we touch that, Jason?
Yeah.
Is that computer touchable?
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't want to. Yeah. Blow up the stream.
I'm typing in his name right now, Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah.
Every picture of him, he never cracks a smile. Look at
your days as the like sarcastic computer hacker are done. You're not going to be in any more of these movies.
Oh, no, I guess I just blew it.
The days, you now just saying. I think I can fix the hyperdrive on this thing.
Yeah,
You're look at this.
There's
nope,
there's a firewall. Oh, we're in. We hacked it.
Do you want this guy directing your summer blockbusters?
Oh. Yeah, he looks.
He takes himself pretty seriously.
he's so sad.
If you do a Google image
he
search
looks
of
sad.
This guy.
This is not a man that should be directing. Google search him right now.
He just looks like he's like, you picture the first day on the set, he'd be like, all right, everybody.
Not even a semblance.
We
got to
make
smile.
This Star Wars movie. Let's just all get through. I like how you're scrolling through and there was just one.
He's
Russell
got one
Brand.
Look. He's got like one
but there's
look.
One Russell Brand in this scrolling through. But it's like, he doesn't, like, he looks like morose. Like he's just going to be like, look, if
can
we all
have fun.
Can I tell you something?
Let's make a blockbuster.
I have an audition on Monday for the movie, so I'm not. Okay, you'll notice I'm not joining
yeah,
in.
You've recused yourself
yeah,
from
I'm
the.
Gonna,
I apologize. Yeah. I take it all back.
Seems like a good guy to me.
It's I like how you play that. Because usually Paul is the guy who like is. Doing the gaming
nice
the system.
Yeah.
Nice
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like if you go back to the human giant dynamic, it's like you're the cowboy, Rob.
Sure.
Right? You're the
sure.
cowboy.
Everybody,
Rob,
I'm sure everybody yeah, would say that.
Rob's the by the book
yeah.
guy, right?
yeah.
Aziz is like the
yeah.
X factor. Like,
yeah.
what's this dude going to do?
What is, yeah.
yeah.
What's and he going to say?
And Jason Wallner's just like, editing the thing back
yeah.
and
Jason
trying to
Wallner
figure out how to
keeping him
flames.
locked in a room for days and hours yeah. like veal yeah.
taking yeah. the, taking those yeah. those fighter pilot pills
where you're just like, guys, that's a wrap on Human Giant. And then he's like, well, I'm gonna be here for another 9 months actually assembling this,
yeah,
so I'll let you know when it's
like the unsung hero of
you know
Human
you
Giant.
nailed all of our Human
yeah.
Giant personas
exactly. Jason would be the guy like, I think I can get us into the system right
yeah.
and you're just like, you're like,
we got to do it by the book, guys.
Yeah, that's Paul.
Yeah,
but you're just like, I just want to punch someone out, right? Rob, you're just like
yeah,
you're like, let's fight.
Yeah, let's fight.
And then Aziz is like the, because I guess it's like, I think I'm just making you guys the A-team, right? Isn't that all I'm
who
doing?
Who am I? Who
or,
is that guy in the
A-team? I couldn't
A-team?
Figure
is
out
that...
if you were doing the A-team or like Three's Company.
Yeah. Well, if it's, you, Paul, I guess if it was A-team, you'd be the...
Hannibal?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
All right, I'll take it.
You'd be that
Liam
guy.
Neeson. I'd be the Liam
you'd
Neeson.
You'd be the Liam Neeson.
Oh, you're going recent A-team.
Yeah. Oh, there's one before that?
Yes, there was a TV series before it.
Oh.
Not with...
I like the
Rampage Jackson was
yeah.
not the first.
I thought the Bradley Cooper one was the first. That was the first time I ever heard it.
Yeah, this.
I do think that A-Team is an underrated movie.
I never saw it. Is
well,
it
you
good?
Really are on the FX.
Yeah,
you're really walking the FX party line.
He's a company man.
FX. I know. I'm on. I'm not even worthy of FX. I'm on FXX, which mm-hmm. has a sum total of 2 hours of programming for 12 mm-hmm. weeks. For 24 weeks out of the whole year.
2 hours.
2 hours.
And
so for 12 weeks, mm-hmm. There's 1 hour.
Okay.
And then for another 12 weeks later on in the year, there's another hour. That is
yeah.
the sum
okay.
total of FXX's programming.
And the rest is what? The Simpsons?
Simpsons and Mad About You reruns.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun thing where you're just like, coming up next, another episode of Mad About You. It's like when you're watching TBS, like, and just, like when I was flying like last week, I'm just watching like I'm like watching the TV, and it's like, coming up next, another American Dad. I'm like, well, I guess I'm watching 7 episodes of American Dad in a row on this thing because I'm not going to pay $14 to watch to fall asleep.
Yeah,
to fade in and out of Get Hard as I like rent it and then fall asleep 4 minutes into it.
Well, JetBlue is the worst because you can't rewind it or fast forward it. You have to, like, uh-huh. it's almost you have to jump in to, you got to jump into it or that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
It started. It's going.
Well, it used to be just like, here's the one movie on the plane, and you just accepted that as
yeah,
how
yeah.
it was.
It's better now, though.
Yeah. It is yeah. infinitely it is better. Where it was the kind of thing, it's like, I remember flying this one airline that flew out of LaGuardia, and their only stops were Los Angeles, LaGuardia, and like Tel Aviv, and it was like the flight showed a movie, like it was almost like they were projecting it onto a screen
yeah.
at the front, and it was 12 Angry Men, the showtime, like with Tony Danza as one of the angry men, and I was like, oh boy, this is,
and that's it, you're
I'm angry. I'm such an Mona. Angry man. He's like, Angela, I'm angry.
That's a great, I don't know why you're not on Saturday Night Live doing impressions of Tony Danza.
Well, Rob, you're not the only one with an audition next week.
Wait a second. Lauren has come calling.
Let's just say someone's going to be at the UCB Theater. we need someone older than any cast member we've ever had.
That can do Tony Danza.
That can do, yeah, we need a Dan. He's just like, we need a...
Basically, you're saying that Lauren's going for a George Coe again. He's trying to get another George Coe.
Yeah, he's looking for the new George Coe, which is the funniest thing. That's the guy who did the voice of Space Ghost.
Yeah.
Was a cast member for like two episodes.
Yeah, he was in the first season.
Oh. Because what was it? A thing where they're just like, man, we can't have kids playing these old.
We need to make an old guy play the old guy.
Yeah. And then finally they're like, oh, that's right. We can just put wigs on people and anyone can play anyone on this thing. We don't have to have an actual old dude in the cast.
When is there going to be a Tony Danza, like, sex scandal? You know, like, it seems like there's something.
Something underneath
there's
there?
Something in his backstory where it's like, oh, Tony Danza held me prisoner in his basement.
It is.
You know.
See, I think Tony Danza is going to go the other way. I think he's going to be the mayor of New York City.
Oh, really?
Ooh, I like that.
I think he's got it in him to, like, go all the way with the
idea. I like
a
song and dance mayor.
Right?
Do some policy, do a little standard.
Yeah, he would be, like, the East Coast Schwarzenegger kind of guy where he's, like, just charming everybody. And then suddenly they're like, wait a minute. Who did we just elect for this thing? Wait, this guy's the actual mayor now of New York? Like,
he's like Jeb Bush. Like, you know, he just kind of will just get in there. People like him, but they don't understand why he was there. You know, Jeb Bush sells a guacamole bowl on his site for $75, the Jeb Bush presidential campaign guacamole bowl.
Well, his wife is Latino, so it's he's allowed to.
So it's a bowl to make guacamole in. It's not like it's not like it shows up all brown like somebody left guacamole.
You don't know. It doesn't come made. Yeah.
It's not made out of guacamole.
Yes, that's what I was like. No. I was like, so he's like making guacamole, then he's like packing it, and it's like it's already like
there's a bowl with old guacamole in it. No, that's not what he's selling.
Yeah, you just like you really have to be a supporter of this guy to be like, yeah, I'll pay $75 for this brown.
And it's called guacamole.
Okay,
it's $75.
The I think it's guacabole.
Guacabole, yeah, and it says Jeb's secret guacamole recipe not included.
So he won't get yet.
one's looking at this picture, but it's a it's one of those grinding bowls where
a regular plastic bowl.
But it also looks
writing on it.
It also looks like the very first toilet.
Like where they're just like, all right. This is a good starting
Let's try this out.
Let's stop going in our huts. And let's go in these bowls.
But this thing's going to have to evolve at some point this.
We'll figure it out later.
Yes.
But right now, just go in these guacamole bowls.
Well, yeah, what if they invented guacamole bowls first and then somebody's like, hey, I think I found a new use for these guacamole bowls. I call it a toilet. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing out there?
You're
right. Oh, good. How into it are you? Like, you know what I mean? Into it. Like, how deep are we out there?
We're good.
We're good.
Feeling it.
A little loose. Who's good here? Who's good?
What do you mean? Who's doing the best?
No, we got calls here. We got calls.
Oh, I thought you meant like.
Oh no. Mike's line one. Let's pop that up here. Best show, you're on the air with Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer. Hello, caller.
Not interested.
No, not into it.
Not into it.
Anyone, are you there? Oh, there we go.
Goodbye.
Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
This is Jesse from Las Vegas.
Jesse from Las Vegas. You're on with Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Rob.
Hey.
Hey, Jesse.
Are you going to buy this crash test thing for only $3.99, Jesse?
I already bought it.
Oh,
thanks, man.
Did you watch it?
I've only gotten to watch about 15 minutes of it before Best Show started.
Oh,
so.
Wow, that's
it's really great.
Thanks. Thank you so much for forgetting it.
We got preempted by Best Show.
Yeah, see? But he, but,
it, but you look, can watch it whenever you want now because you own it.
Yeah, once he, yeah, he yeah, did the definitely. Right thing, he pulled the trigger on. Now, you guys also, you undercut the Louis C.K.'s by $1.01.
Yeah,
so you just, you've thrown down the gauntlet now. It's like you're like the Walmart of these.
Well, you know,
yeah, because we are not making any money from this. We just want to get it out there. Yeah.
Believe me.
We're at a loss at this point.
Believe
this
me.
Yeah. It's like a loss leader, but there's no other thing you're selling. It's
wait,
like
do we talk to Jesse? Or
oh, no, he's still here. Oh, okay, don't worry. Sorry. This he's tolerating this, and then I'll eventually say something to him, and his, it will be weirdly out of date what he was going to say. But, well, Jesse, what were you going to say? What do you got?
Oh, I was just—I have one. For, I have one, two for the topic. Actually.
For this doctor, because we were talking about this doctor last week.
I wanted to bring in a Doctor Who too. I put it on the, my website. But I'll talk about these.
Okay. Who do you, who would you want to see? Because look, I'm not a fan of this thing. It's, but I think it should be American, right? Shouldn't it be American?
Well, I do have one American. I have one American and one British.
John Goodman.
No.
What if it was with John? Where's John Goodman from Flight, that character he did in Flight, where he's like, oh, hell, you need a Cocoa Puff, man. Like, cigarette with cocaine in it. Which so who do you think? Who do you have?
Okay, for the British one, Richard Ayoade.
Okay, that would be good.
Oh, he's going serious.
Yeah, that.
And for the American, Burt Young.
Burt Young? Paulie from the Rocky movies?
Yeah,
he was like
a hundred. The whole dynamic of the show. Yeah.
Yes, it would. It would change the dynamic. He was like 100 when he was on The Sopranos.
He's 75 years young.
Yeah.
Has anyone pitched? Him. Has anyone pitched the kid from Modern Family?
Which one, Luke?
I don't know his. I don't
Chubby
know his
Manny.
Name. His real
Rico
name.
Rodriguez.
Yeah. How do you know his name?
I'm a huge fan. I'm a huge fan of the double R.
Which one did you see Rob and I, our turns on Modern Fam?
Have I? I've seen a bunch of episodes. I'm trying to remember what have I, who did you do on the Modern Fam?
I played a manager at Costco who caught Gloria stealing.
Okay.
Rob, who did you play?
Well, you know what? Before the show, I promised myself I wouldn't go on the show and plug guest spots that I had done.
That's
so, I mean, that's just my
point. He said to me, I'm not going to talk about the Goldbergs.
I'm not going
to
talk about...
I'm not going to talk about...
Curb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How I Met Your Mother. I mean, these are all
shows.
And
I made the same promise. It's like, I'm not going to talk about some of the great roles in Wet Hot American Summer.
Sure. Because you're both in the Wet Hot American Summer prequel.
Yeah, but we're not going to plug other projects. We just want to plug Crash Test.
You're not
talk about Adventure Time or anything like that.
Yeah, you're not here to talk
if
about.
She's not going to talk about Meet Dave.
Oh, Meet Dave. Eddie
Murphy.
Meow TV, TV for Cats by Cats, paid for by Purina.
I'm not going to talk about. I'm not going to mention that I was in Norbit. I'm not going to mention that I was in What to Expect When You're Expecting.
I can't talk. I'm not going to talk about School for Scoundrels, Todd Phillips' least successful film.
Yeah, that Classroom.
I'm not here to plug I Love You, Man, or The Descendants.
Tevin.
Was that Classroom the most, like that Classroom was like.
School for Scoundrels?
Yeah, the most. It's that, like, that hey, Classroom, can we see a thing about anybody who's not sitting down? I mean, anybody who's like not standing up, can a movie be about like it's like
that Classroom across the board is one of the best because it's John Glazer, Aziz, Jim Parsons, Bazinga, me, Horatio Sands, Matt Walsh. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an amazing class that was not. We weren't even allowed to turn our head in a direction that was not in the script. It was like.
Yeah.
No improvisation at all. Those big classrooms.
What is the movie? What is the movie you're talking about?
School for Scoundrels.
When does that come out?
I got to figure that
out. There's got to be like a 15th anniversary.
Saying it's already come out?
Well, I'm sure the Draft House is doing a special screening.
Yeah.
It sounds great. What you're describing sounds great. When does it come out?
Yeah, it's a movie with all those guys in it.
I remember that I couldn't go to the premiere, and my wife went to the premiere. And I was like, wait, what did you think? And she's like, it was terrible.
Couldn't even.
And I was like, oh, and I felt so crushed by it. Uh-huh. But that has started our relationship as just brutally honest at every given point.
Well, that's good, though, because it's not like you wrote it.
Exactly.
Like you're just like, my masterpiece, School for Scoundrels. Please, like, You didn't like it? Didn't you see me sitting in the back of that classroom in it?
I put jello in an old man's face.
By the way, right after that, he was like, oh, how about The Hangover? How about Hangover 2?
Yeah,
how about Hangover
2? Every,
yeah.
So who's laughing?
You know who's laughing is anybody who bought a Crash Test today.
Good man. This is why you're in the biz.
Yeah, that's why.
You bring it back around.
But it ends once Lauren gives me that thumbs up.
You're out.
Ends. So you're going to go on.
The whole studio is shuttered.
Yeah.
It's mostly Tony Danza impressions that you're going to do on SNL.
I got a few up my sleeve.
Yeah. Besides Tony, who's your main one? Isabel Sanford. from Sanford and Son?
No, from the Jeffersons. Not from Sanford and Son.
Was Isabel Sanford related to Sanford and Son? Like, I my parents would not let me watch Sanford and Son.
That's racist. That's racist.
But I wonder if, like, in the TV world, if they were related. I wonder if Isabel Sanford.
No, they weren't. The Jeffersons was part of the All in the Family universe.
Right. Okay.
If you trace it all the way back, George Jefferson had a few.
He was in a couple episodes with Archie.
He went head to head with Archie.
Yeah.
And then they're just like, let's give this dude his own show where he gets his dry cleaning business takes off. And
we'll put that British guy next door and he'll walk on his back because his back is always going out.
Yes, when he was on Mr. Bentley's back. You ever read about Sherman Hemsley, the guy who played George Jefferson, was like a huge...
Rapist.
Close.
No, he would roofie people.
No. He was a huge prog rock fan. And
wait,
he would, like,
what?
Yeah, and he would like fly. He would fly. There was this band Gong, and he would like... fly the main guy from England to LA and like drive him around in like his limo. He's just like, he had so much money and he was just like this prog rock enthusiast. And there's articles about it. If you type in Sherman Hemsley,
oh my gosh,
I think one of the next things that comes up is prog.
That's
like,
great.
And he was just like, now I can't look at him ever without thinking of him just being like, look, this Jefferson's thing is a total crock. I can't wait to get off this set and start cranking my Emerson, Lake and Palmer albums.
Did he play prog rock or just a fan of it?
I don't think he played it. I think
he was just purely a fan.
And was like had money to burn now to just do whatever he wanted with
his
love.
The end of tour movie? Can I make a movie like that with where it's like Jesse Eisenberg and Jason Segel as Sherman Hemsley, the guy from Gong.
Could you imagine that movie? That would be.
Well, but I mean, think about it though. If you were on a show like that, and you I don't know what people made on.
Imagine back then they made a lot of money, right?
You think it was a lot? I'm not sure.
Well, could you imagine being George Jefferson back when, like, 27 million people watched this.
Yeah. But I just don't know if people got paid what they get paid. But what I was going to say was if you were on Big Bang or something like that, and you just had all that money, and you could just throw it at something like that, some side interest of yours. I mean, what would you throw it at?
Me right now?
Yeah, but not like your family or your son's education or any stupid stuff like that.
Yeah. Man. I don't know.
I mean, if you just had a passion, like, I'm going to, I can fly in this prog rock band or whatever what sort of indulgence would you give yourself?
I think I know what you would do.
Yeah, tell me.
You would hunt humans.
Ooh.
You seem like you'd have played, like, the most dangerous game.
That's a good one. To me, and
but
that's,
it would
well,
be like
I
the
guess
cast
what,
of MASH.
You,
like,
what
you'd
you should
hunt
say,
the cast of MASH.
What you would say, I think the tweak of it is
get hot
that
lips,
I have
get hot
been,
lips on the run.
High quality humans. I'm doing it right now with a lot of hobos.
Yeah.
Skid Row in LA is overrun, so I do it then. Mm-hmm. So I would some people that are a little bit higher class humans.
Yeah. Okay.
TV show cats.
Yeah, like what if you just reunited casts? Everybody, this is the Cheers reunion. It's a little different, though. That guy from Fresh Off the Boat is going to hunt you. You guys better, you have
he's
60
gonna,
seconds
Mitch,
to run.
He's Mitch from Fresh Off the Boat.
He's
going out with a crossbow.
Down.
He's on the back of a Jeep with a machine gun.
Rambo 4 style.
You guys really better run because he's going to actually start shooting you guys. here in the jungle. Like, what are we doing here in the jungle? Why is the Cheers reunion in the jungle?
Yeah. Run!
Yeah.
I am obsessed with, there's a couple people online that do these Star Trek shows. Mm-hmm. So they basically have recreated the old set, not the new ones, like the 1960s set. And they guess they pay like the old actors enough money to come in and shoot episodes. So you'll have like them all acting normal, like, well, you have to bring in Chekhov. Yeah. And then they beam in, you know, 80-year-old and you know, Walter Koenig, and he just sits there and does these lines for, you know, I guess they pay him like $20,000 or whatever. But you can buy these episodes.
And he's got the check in his hand during the,
The guy who played Tuvok on Voyager has his own spinoff show that's not affiliated with anything. He's just taking that character of Tuvok and making web series with that character.
Just waiting for that. He just knows he's going to get shut down at some point. It just like
they're going
to. He just goes to check his mail in the morning. He sees an envelope.
Cease and desist.
He just knows it's like with like a. Why else would Paramount be sending me a thing? He's just like. Well, here we go. It's over. Ugh. All right, tear the set down. The experiment has ended.
Remember that time, Shear, when one time Paul and I went to this. Trade show. It was like a horror convention. It was here in New York.
Jersey.
That's right. And it was along the lines of Comic-Con, but it was for horror.
And it was in a hotel.
Yeah, it was pretty floor. It was pretty bleak. I mean, it's pretty. You can imagine the
Kane Hodder was the highlight.
Yeah. So we were walking around, and Kane Hodder, he was the guy that played Jason. Oh, okay. He was a stuntman.
Before Derek Mears.
Yeah, he was a stuntman. Okay. And he played Jason, you know, under the mask and everything. But anyway, we saw he had a little autograph signing set up. And one of the bleakest things I've ever seen in the entertainment world, there was a little kid at this convention with his mom, and he was walking around, and he was dressed as Jason. And he had on, the overalls and the hockey mask. And the kid was probably like 3 or 4. I mean, little kid. Oh. But had somehow become infatuated with the idea of Jason, you know, from Friday the 13th. Like, you know, murderer. And so Kane Hodder, the actor, the superstar, is there.
Yeah.
And so the little kid sees him, and he wants to go up and get his autograph. And so he walks up to the booth. With his mom, and he's a little bit scared, and his mom's like, you know, go on. So he walks up to Kane Hodder, who's played this famous murderer maniac.
Yeah.
And Kane Hodder says to the little boy, looks at the little boy who's dressed just like him in his little adorable Jason hockey mask, and he goes, $20. $20. And the little kid, you know, he didn't know he had to pay $20 to get Kane Hodder's autograph.
The story that goes hand in hand with that is Lou Ferrigno. Remember Lou Ferrigno from Comic-Con? Lou Ferrigno is hearing impaired.
Yes.
And
he's a dear friend of mine from I Love You, Man.
Yes. Okay, so...
he's not listening to this.
Should we not tell a story? Should we?
No.
I'm just telling you, he's not listening.
Okay, so he you know is hearing impaired to what level?
But that's not why he's not listening to this. He chooses to not listen to this, not because he's
you
hearing
broadcast
impaired.
In,
not yeah, because right. he's hearing yeah. impaired.
I'm glad you clarified.
He just doesn't want to listen to this.
He has nothing to do with his hearing. Terrestrial radio based.
Straight,
he loves terrestrial.
He's not
going
to listen to this.
It's just a straight up quality issue is why he's not listening to it.
So we were at Comic-Con with him, and he, I think, relies on the hearing impaired thing to not have conversations with a lot of people.
Okay.
And then we saw this guy walk over. Do you remember how it all went down?
Uh-uh.
This guy walked over and was like, Lou, I love you, man. You're the best. Can I get a handshake? And he goes, $20. And it was like in that moment the guy just got like it was all business. There was no joy in him at all. Just like $20.
Wow. Just like
I don't do a hurtful impression of Lou Ferrigno when I tell the story. I don't do a hurtful impression of.
Now, is this the kind of stuff we get with this crash test special? It's just like
He's such a pro.
Like people with impairments.
No. It's smarter than that. It's you would appreciate the writing, the acting, the direction.
Uh huh.
You know, we shot
Lance
it all.
Lance Bangs in, directed it. Famous documentary.
Sure.
We shot it all in one night. You know, we already mentioned. I don't have to convince you.
No,
I mean, it's Aziz
Ansari,
who you love.
That's all I'm.
Tom
me.
And Ben.
We had Natasha
Leggero.
Jack McBrayer.
Rob Corddry. Jack McBrayer. Aubrey Plaza. Earl Sweatshirt. Seth Morris. Andy Daly. I mean, what names do you want to hear?
Roker. I wish Al Roker.
Well, we should get into that. We should get into that.
We were on the Today Show.
You were on the Today Show, and
it didn't go well.
You were in the 9 o'clock hour.
9 o'clock hour.
What
is that a bad hour?
What does that mean? The way you said that is a bit of a slight.
It's the transitional hour between the Lauer, Savannah.
So it's like
to the Kathy
tier.
Lee.
I see.
Well, it's usually Willie Geist is usually holding it down.
Yeah.
And
I have done many a segment with a Willie Geist and Al Roker at a very tall table.
Okay.
So they were very into Rob and I doing a bit, and they kept on saying can we do some improv with you? Let's do some improv with
you. And
you
know, Tom, that that's not going to go over on television.
Every time I've done an improv game, it's terrible.
Yeah. No one, I'm not, who are some improv superstars?
Wayne Brady.
I'm not, who else?
Colin Mockery.
Who else? I'm
Drew
not,
Carey.
I'm not, who else?
Greg
you know,
Proops.
Wayne Brady.
Greg Proops.
Great. Who else? I mean, I'm not, who else?
Well, now
Wayne Brady.
Now we're in the bottom of the
barrel.
No, I mean,
I'm not, who else?
Colin Mockery.
I'm not Colin Mockery. No, I'm not, Drew Carey.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to do a bit.
We didn't want to do a bit like that.
We
didn't
want to
talk about improv.
Because it's not going to work.
No. Everyone improvises all the time. You're improvising right now.
We're also not on there to promote any. We're not promoting this as an improv special. This is more like a UCB show. It's a bit show.
It's stand up.
We have an idea, but we're following it.
It's an insane ride across Los Angeles. And so they said to us, "Well, what if we did this thing? You know, you guys that we happen to pull off a little bit that's sort of an old bit, but we took someone from the audience in our show on the bus."
We put an earbud
in them, and we put them out on Hollywood and Highland, which is where all the weirdos are.
Sure.
And we just told them weird things
this
to
guy
say
that
to
we
people.
Got was fearless, and he would go up to women and be like, "Can I smell your hair?"
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And try to give them back massages. Mm-hmm. And
he would go up to an older couple, and he would go, "Mom, Dad, can I come home?"
And
just anything that we told him to say.
Uh-huh. And so
they said, "We want Al Roker to do the same bit."
Yeah, which is not gonna.
No.
And I will admit my fault here. And I was like to Rob, this is gonna work. It's gonna be great. Al Roker's gonna play along. I think I said,
why don't we just flirt with Natalie and Taryn? You know,
Cameron.
Because Rob is now saying, "Look, have you been under the direction of Alexander Payne, Paul?"
Exactly.
I haven't. Right. I've worked with a lot of great people. I've never worked with Alexander.
That's
Payne.
Right. I pulled up my IMDb.
It started.
And again, you know, I'm not here to plug Norbit.
Mm-hmm. No.
What to expect when you're expecting.
I like the idea that the two of you were in two of Eddie Murphy's most...
The lesser
Norbit and
Meet Dave.
Yeah.
I was in it. I signed on to a movie called Starship Dave, and I
believe
in that script.
That's what I still believe
in that script.
But did it become Meet Dave? Where did I get that?
It became Meet Dave. I believed in the script that I signed on to. I was bamboozled.
Yeah.
I was cut out.
An Eddie Murphy movie, I think. Bamboozled.
That's a Spike Lee movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they say Meet Dave, is that because he was the only paying customer for the thing? Was a guy named Dave, the only one who bought a ticket?
Oh, that Meet Dave movie. I've never seen it.
Mm-hmm. So just to finish up on Al Roker, so the end of that story.
You're going to get Al Roker to participate in this
thing. I have stumping. I said to Rob, this is going to work. We'll put an earbud in his ear, and we'll feed him funny lines. We'll pretend like the cameras are off.
Yeah.
He'll interact with that crowd outside. Yeah. There will be great.
Everybody at the Today Show said Al Roker will hit this out of the park. He's funny.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to go out there to the crowd.
Uh-huh.
He's going to do the bit. He's going to do exactly what you want.
They came down to talk to us before we went on, and they were so relaxed. I was like, this is a kind of a different bit for you guys. Yeah. We have an earwig. We have cameras being set up. We got it. Al's into it. We got it.
And Paul convinced me. Paul said the Today Show is the new home for morning comedy.
I said to them, I go, save the podcast for Mark Maron.
Mm-hmm.
President Barack Obama going on Mark Maron. I was like, comedy is alive and well on today's show.
The 9 o'clock hour.
So, yes, we followed Ben Kingsley, who is doing
comedian
stuff.
Ben Kingsley.
He's doing.
We followed comedian Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, he's doing first word, last word.
And
we did our interview A, B, C, yeah. Where we just.
So the Al Roker thing, he goes out there, you know, to the people in Rockefeller Center. Mm-hmm. And we start
telling
him, you know, weird random things to say to people. Yeah.
But
and he shuts down.
But
you know?
Al doesn't
he just shook it off.
He shook it off. Now he was agreeing to play along with us, and so Rob fed him a line. He's like, Al, tell him the Doppler broke down, and you need somebody to quickly tell you the weather.
Just make up some weather info. Yeah, yeah. Hurry, I'm going to air. Hurry, anything.
He presents this information, and you can watch this all online too. Like this. I'll do Al Roker doing it to the person. Hey.
Hi.
The.
I'm a big fan of the Today Show.
The Doppler. We had an accident with the Doppler, and it's kind of what's the weather like? So drawn out, so long, and then the person's like, "Oh, it was kind of rainy." Or,
yeah, I mean, it looks like it rained earlier, so it'll probably. It seems like it's going to rain again, and then.
Okay. Hey, guess what?
What's that, Al?
That was an experiment.
What do you mean?
You were on TV.
Oh, right? I didn't even think I was on TV.
In the meantime, you're saying.
I'm pitching another saying, line, like, saying, blow on me because I'm hot out here. Yeah, fan me down. Fan me.
The point is that. Yeah,
and he immediately starts to go, that was an experiment.
Yeah.
You were on TV. An experiment?
Yeah.
It was an experiment.
The Roker sold both of you out.
He sold us. He threw us under the bus.
That was not.
He threw us under our own bus.
That was like a groundlings move.
He gives zero Fs. That's what Roker gives. Zero
he does
Fs.
Not get into the U. That's not a yes and from Roker.
But I don't even understand. The only thing I'm happy about is that only he looks bad, really.
Praise him.
Because like we were like, Rob and I were so adamant about not looking like idiots on the Today Show. Mm-hmm. But at least he looked like an idiot because he.
The fact that we're talking about the Today, it infuriates me. Like my blood is. Why are we even talking about this?
Roker? Roker, gotcha. Roker.
What was when you watch it, what was going through your mind?
First of all, why had you watched it?
But also, they were like, the interview was terrible.
Well, I can explain this.
To make fun of us.
Why did I watch it?
Because you hoped it would implode on itself.
No. Why did I watch it? Well, Mike came in.
Mike is
gleeful vampire that he is. And he's like, oh, you have Rob and Paul are going to be here? You have to watch this Today Show.
You got to see what just happened.
It's like Al Roker totally screwed these guys on TV and sold them out just with the gleeful the Schadenfreude that he lives off of.
I agree.
His oxygen is other people's.
Well, you can breathe for days.
Inconvenience. So he lifelessly.
Lifeless,
you're like,
right?
You're like, raise your hand if. If you can hear us, and he just goes like his hand just goes up, bleh, bleh, like he was already just barely raising it to say, "I don't want to be doing this." So you know that someone said, "Oh, he's totally into it."
Yes,
that was just the lying that goes on with
that.
Things.
That's what I feel like. I feel like no one communicated anything to anyone, and even our segment producer who walked us through the segment was like,
"Yeah,"
walked out and was like, "That was great."
Yeah.
It's like, what just happened?
Yeah, when we left, I jokingly said, "What are we going to wear to the Emmys?" And they were like, "I don't know. What are we going to wear?" Like they were like not convinced that I was joking.
They're like, "We got to keep on going." But your description of him, lifeless. He was lifeless. It was the most sedated prank.
By the way, is he listening? Is he a fan of the show?
How many times have you had the Roke man?
I've seen.
Do you want the Rokester?
He does not listen. He does not listen. I saw him once host the Edgar Awards, which are the mystery awards that I would have to attend because I worked on a TV show.
Monk?
I worked on Monk, so we would have to go to this thing, and Al Roker.
Does he still have OCD?
Monk?
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's dead.
Not Tony
now.
Shalhoub, the character. The
Wait, he died
over,
of a season?
So I'm assuming he died of natural causes.
No.
Just on a side thing. It's like, he didn't get killed by a villain. He just died.
Moriarty?
he just dropped dead. So he hosted this thing, and he was just, he might as well have been like, running the numbers of how much he was getting paid per minute
for being there, just like, because he was barely engaged. And then he threw at one point to audio from Angela Lansbury, who was like, not video, it's like they couldn't just shoot her in a thing where she's like,
just audio?
Just played audio where she's like, "Hello, everyone. I'm so sorry I could not be here tonight. This is one of the greatest mysteries, or one of the best." It's just like so off the top of her. It was like, and then the greatest thing is at this award show, they wheel out into the lobby after everybody's winning their things, and it's endless. In the lobby, they give like free mystery books. The publishers provide free mystery books. So halfway through this thing, as soon as people find out the books are out there for free, they just like, I didn't win anything. I'm going to just grab as many books as I can carry out of this dumb hotel. So you just see people walking through Midtown holding just armfuls of just free books. Myself included. I had like four copies of that Manhunt, the thing to hunt down the guy who shot Lincoln. I was just I know people want these. I'm just going to grab a whole stack of these.
But don't you feel like the Today Show in general is just, they're checked out. Yeah. They're like, it's sort of like, we got to do this every day. Like, why is he so
Lauer
checked out?
Checked out.
You'll notice, Tom, that I'm not coming in quite as hard as Paul is.
I'm really coming in hard tonight.
But the reason is, full disclosure, because I have an audition for Monday for the Today Show.
Monday's a busy day in the audition
world. I mean, we're getting all these auditions. And Paul, I don't know,
I'm going to be on the new GMA cast. Good Morning America is back.
Strahan.
That's a backstabbing move, it'll be
me. Linda Ellerbee is back. We're bringing back Linda Ellerbee.
Linda Ellerbee's back, great.
and that guy Charles.
Yeah, Roker threw us under the bus. And I'll say this: if he is listening, if you want to fight us, man. Yeah.
But by the way,
Paul. All right, for real. If you want to fight us, you come to our hotel. We're in town for two more days. Yeah. I live in Los Angeles, California, so...
Meet us at our hotel.
I'm better than you.
You
meet us at our hotel. I can't say where it is on the air.
The Gainsvort.
It's the Gainsvort.
This is what I see.
You come to the Gainsvort.
Crash Test 2.
Roker.
You just run them down.
Oh, man.
Right? The two of you in the bus, you drive right into the plaza. There he is. Right? Maybe there's a concert.
With
maybe
his
it's
little
Kenny,
hat. He's wearing
Kenny
like his
Chesney
little, like,
concert.
Funky going on. Yeah. And we just get him.
Yeah.
By the way.
His little hat.
His hat.
It sound like
he's
it's
a
propeller hat on his head.
Inspector Gadget hat that he's little, wearing.
No, yeah. He was dressed like Casablanca.
I feel
something.
Like they didn't. Yeah, he didn't even want to go out. Today has been such a muggy, disgusting New York day. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to even go outside. Yeah.
Hey, Al, you're going to go out onto the plaza again. You're not done yet. You can go out on the plaza for this comedy routine. He's just like...
We did.
As I got a Zumba class at 10
I need that. Like, I want that as like a loop. We did a little experiment, and you were on TV.
Yeah.
The worst reveal, the
are
worst
Are we coming
ever.
Off? Because I don't have any... I never have any sense of how we're coming across.
Right now?
Are we? Yeah, are we coming across
I mean, we're not
like,
bringing the Jack Black F-bomb.
Are we being jerks? No, are we being dummies, dum-dums?
I would say, well, why don't we ask the guy who's been on the line for 55 minutes. How are they coming off, Jesse?
No, Jesse's not still on.
Yeah, he is.
Wait a second. That's a world's record. No one has held on.
He's done it so good.
That might be a world record for any phone call.
He's driving across the country.
Jesse?
Yes.
How are Paul?
Do we seem like, Jesse, like we're being jerks or we're being bitter about what happened to us on the Today Show?
No, not at all. Not at all. And I hope you do well in your audition, Rob. I think you should take Willie Geist's role.
Yeah. You know what's
Geist.
Up. Thank you.
Yes. Look out, Geist. Here comes Rob Hubel to take your gig.
Shout out to Jesse, man. I know you don't
love
give
Jesse.
A lot of shout outs on the show.
I'm going
to hang up on him.
Yeah. I'm going to move you along, Jesse. Thanks so much.
Okay.
55 minutes and then just cast aside.
Yes. So how did you guys, I'm trying to think the first time I saw you, I guess the the wrestling. Remember that wrestling show?
That was Rob's show. Yeah, it was called
Pile Driver.
Pile Driver.
Right.
Oh man,
that would probably have been the first
time.
Yeah,
you came to that.
I did come to. I went to it a bunch. And I think, Paul, the first time I saw you at the UCB Theater, you were probably doing...
Real World?
I think you were probably doing a thing where you were like a kids, like an animal host.
Oh,
of a
wait,
thing.
That special that. Delivery, like the British show? Yeah.
Yeah. That would be the first thing
These
I
are
saw
all
you
classic
do.
Comedy shows.
Yeah.
I remember being intimidated by you, Tom, because you would
that's...
sit at the end of a bar,
uh-huh.
and and you would look intimidating, and we always knew that this is like
I didn't
a
know who
big
you
time
were.
Guy. That
I didn't
was
know who you were for a long time. I knew that, like, oh man, that's. The
I was
guy
too
from,
afraid to
that's
approach.
That's the monk guy.
That guy who's not
that's
talking
the guy
to anybody
because
he's
because
down at the end of the bar,
the only person who's not doesn't know how to do improv here. The
it
weird
was scary. It was
outlier.
Scary. It was scary because you'd sit down there with like your other friends from the show, and you know you were one of those guys. Yeah. That guy's got a real job. And we didn't have jobs.
Well, that has changed. Now I'm the guy building this thing.
This network.
What are the shows on the network?
Garbage cans.
What are the new shows on the FOT
network? It's going to be AP Mike. It's Real Talk with AP Mike.
I like it.
It'll be him just kind of laying it out.
Like being real?
Just being real. Just like,
being
I mean, we're...
Shooting straight.
He's not... No punches pulled on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not he's not one of these showbiz phonies.
Right.
He's the salt of the earth from... He's from Bayonne.
Yeah.
He's not... He's no reason to put on airs.
So he's gonna shoot from the hip.
Just like... Rob, you don't know Mike as well as a lot of people. Paul knows him, but it's like Mike works at a bar called Masses. It's like you know what an old man bar is, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's kind of like it's not like the Turkey's Nest out in Williamsburg, where it's this cool bar and stuff. It's like this is a bar where you go to this place. It's like
because you need to go there.
Yeah, this is a place where
you need your medicine.
You need your medicine.
So we have a bar near our house.
It's old guys that tell
a
their
bar
wives,
that opens at 10 a.m. and people are lined up ready.
It's
to
old
get
guys
in
that
there.
Tell their wives like I have to work till I got to work late. I'm working late.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of and Mike. Well, how do you see a movie, Rob? When you go to when you want to see, say,
well, name a movie like
when you
Norbit?
Say you want to see, say you
what, like
see,
The Descendants. I mean, name any movie. What to expect?
Say you want to see Birdman.
Yeah.
How do you? How would you watch Birdman?
You mean in what format would I watch it?
Just like what would you do to have seen that movie?
Well, I saw that movie in the theater.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
At the ArcLight. Yeah.
Well, what Mike does is he. He generally buys a copy of it from someone. In the parking lot of a Walgreens, and then he also sells the movies to other people. Like he flips them.
Yeah.
So he watches a bootleg and then he flips the bootleg.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the profit margin on that, he's taking a loss on that.
Well, the profit margin is one free viewing of the movie.
By the way, I can't think of a better movie than Birdman to watch a bootleg version of it.
Yeah.
Really, you don't miss anything.
It's
the sound design, the visuals.
Exactly. That one long shot, you don't. Yeah, when it's
you want to watch it kind of blurry.
Yeah, from an iPhone 4.
Yeah.
It's exactly how they all envisioned it
being
seen.
That's how they wanted it.
Yeah. Well, you got half the screen, and it's kind of moving around a bunch to make sure you can see
it's
everything.
It's like a pan and scan.
So he works at an old man bar.
Yeah. He does a bunch of different things. But now he's entered this phase in his life. He started recording these songs. He's got, like, songs he's putting out. And then now he wrote a children's book that he got Harry Morgan's son to do the narration on.
Who's Harry Morgan?
Harry Morgan, Colonel Potter from MASH.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
When you said Harry Morgan, I thought of the credits from MASH. I really did.
Yeah.
And then I thought, well, certainly it's not affiliated with the MASH TV show.
Oh, no,
because that wouldn't be that big of a score.
No, like. The circles he runs in now.
Okay.
It's really.
Yeah.
There's no one else doing it. I tell you, he's he's like the Prince of Bayonne now, right, Mike? Because there's a guy.
Well, Captain and Prince are two different.
There's a guy in Bayonne called. If you've never been to Bayonne, this city, there's a guy who runs around in an actual superhero costume.
Like, wait, just running, really?
Yeah, like running around the streets to encourage physical fitness, and he calls himself Captain Bayonne. And Mike hates this guy so much.
Yeah, you would have to hate that guy. I mean,
so Mike has his own superhero costume to rival him. It's a look. This is like that red pill, blue pill moment right now, Rob. It's like if you take the one, you're all in, and next thing you'll know, you're like. You're telling your representation, it's just like, you can reach me at this 201 number now in Bayonne. I'm in all the way. I'm living with Mike.
So Mike's doing a show.
Mike's got a show on the network.
Who else?
We'll probably bring...
who else are you trying to scoop in here? I mean, look, obviously, I know a lot about podcasting.
We'll probably poach.
Wolf Pop, you know, yeah. We just
Paul,
sold to
I mean,
Scripps.
Paul,
know.
Do you have any, like, podcasting tips? I mean...
I'll probably poach something from your network.
Yeah.
Like, who's got a show on there?
Leonard Maltin?
Nah, you can have that one. that's all yours.
You want to take? I
Randy Newman.
I don't want to say anybody's name because it'll come across.
Randy Newman.
Randy Newman, the
Randy Newman
movie composer, has a podcast where he talks about what
snacks.
He was thinking about
when he
talks about snacks. Snacks that he eats while he's composing.
Like Cheerios
the
are
Toy
good.
Story music.
You got a friend in me. Hey,
let me think what I would take. I'd probably go after, I don't know, I guess the move to make would be to split up How Did This Get Made, like kind of drive a rift between that and just take out the big, it's like going to prison and fighting the biggest guy in the yard the first day you're in there.
You're going
to
take June and make her do her own podcast about animal rights?
We'll just wedge something in there that makes it so that your show.
I want June to be doing a show in New Jersey weekly.
Because then the air goes out of the whole network. Then.
Oh, 100%.
Next thing you know, you got
June's the lifeblood of that show.
And you got suddenly you got the Scott Aukerman screaming at you because the whole network's in a free fall because the tent pole got cut down. Next thing it's just like. It's Leonard Maltin now sliding in. It's you and Leonard Maltin doing How Did This Get Made? And it's like then the cracks start to show.
That's it. Look, if you make us an offer, we'll come over to the Friends of Tom Network. What would you call the network?
I wouldn't want my name. That makes that upsets me when people's names are in things too much. It's, well, you know what I mean? Because it's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I would not.
You wanna, like, give me an example. I don't get what you mean. What do you
like?
Spike Lee and Spike.
Like Spike Lee, when he started the Spike Network. What's Kevin Smith thing? Isn't his name
Smodcast?
Like his name is in thing, and that just like makes me uncomfortable. Just like
Rogan probably has Rogan Net or something like that.
Exactly.
Corolla's got Corolla Net.
Oh, his thing is like. That like it's like audio creatine, the Joe Rogan show. It's like listening. It's like, what would creatine sound like if it talked?
What is creatine?
It's like a protein, muscle protein.
Yeah, it's like if creatine could talk.
Oh, is that the?
It's like what Mark McGwire was doing when he was on his home run streak.
When I first moved to LA, this is a Mark McGwire story.
Mm-hmm. You have a Mark McGwire story?
Doesn't everybody? When I first moved to L.A., I was just getting used to driving around L.A. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of traffic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of merging.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in Hollywood, which is where I live. I live in Hollywood.
Okay.
It's Hollywood.
Sure. Just read the sign, right?
Yeah.
Lipstick City, man.
And so I looked, and mm-hmm. Mark McGrath was trying to sneak in front of me in traffic.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He was trying to come out of a gas station and kind of like very rudely trying to cut in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And he rolled down his window and flashed me like a $1 million smile
mm-hmm.
and like a point. Like he pointed at
your
me.
Finger
like,
guns.
Like finger guns.
Uh huh.
So for the audience at home right now, I'm doing finger guns.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gave him the finger. I gave him literally.
The one finger.
Am I allowed to say that on the show?
Sure, you can say the finger.
Praise him, the finger.
The finger.
Yeah, so I gave Mark McGrath the finger. I was like, no, you're not cutting in front of me.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
Is that Mark McGrath or Mark McGuire?
Oh, I'm talking about...
You're talking about the guy from Sugar Ray?
Yeah, who are you guys talking about?
The guy from Mark McGuire, the baseball player.
Yeah.
How did I get off on Mark McGrath? Why didn't someone take me back?
I wasn't sure. We were halfway into it, and suddenly I'm like...
When I heard Million Dollar Smile, I was like, well, that's not Mark McGuire.
No, that's...
Let's take some calls. Maybe. Why didn't anyone stop me?
I'm going to take a call, and then I'm going to play a record and cool down here. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hello, hello.
Who's this?
This is JWC, Wes Coleman from Austin, Texas.
All right. What's going on in Texas tonight?
Drinking a little Mexican beer, hanging out with my buddy.
We had a premiere of Crash Test It last night in Austin.
Yeah.
Were you there?
Yeah.
You were at the premiere of Crash Test last night?
No, I was not.
Yeah.
The Crash Test Dummy Show? He said yes, but he meant no.
Yeah.
He heard it clearly.
That's how the Crash Test Dummy.
Yeah, that's how talking works. What's up, buddy?
I'm going to say thanks for playing my music. This is John Wesley Coleman.
Hey, how are you? Texas. It's good to hear from you. You're one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's good. I love the show. I was at a barbecue earlier, and my friend said that his buddy from the Cynics called here lately, and I heard him play you on the best show. And then I was hanging out with Orville from OB and Threes yesterday, and it's kind of a coincidence that I'm listening to your show, and I'm hearing like all these
played them tonight.
Really rad bands.
Played your record last week.
Yeah, someone told me that, and they're like, you should call them. I was like, all right.
Well, look, I'm going to email you properly. We're going to set up a proper phone call here, not where you're eating the table scraps.
Well, I'm taking a picture of an Oreo on top of a Macintosh laptop. And if you ever taken a picture of an Oreo on a Mac.
No, we're going to let's set this up correctly.
It's pretty good.
JWC3. Yeah, all right, buddy.
Absolutely.
Okay, bye.
That's a great stereotypical call from Austin, Texas. Yeah, I'm at a barbecue right now. And
taking a picture of an Oreo cookie. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, it's Jefferson from Texas.
Another Texas call. What's up, Jefferson?
I had some quick ones for the topic.
All right. Well, do you have anything to say to Paul Scheer and or Rob Hubel?
Oh, yeah. A Human Giant is now I'm just flustered. I don't know what to say now. Human Giant was incredible. Paul Scheer, your comic books are fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
You're the only person that's ever made me like Deadpool ever.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's nice.
Wow, what a cool call.
Rob Hubel, you're hilarious on Children's Hospital as well.
Which falls outside of the zone of guest. You're not going to, because you weren't going to mention the guest appearances. Yeah.
Well, he's not a guest on that.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That actually.
But to this guy's credit, he's being nice.
Yeah, this guy's a good guy. So what do you got, Jefferson?
I have a Michael Kay kind of stole my my setup.
Yeah.
I have a British person and an American.
Okay, who do you think?
British person, Jessica Hines from Spaced, I think would make a tremendous doctor.
All right.
That's and good. For an American, I think Sam Rockwell would make an incredible doctor.
I can see that, right? Sam Rockwell.
I like Sam.
It's a pretty good idea.
I mean, I also suggested somebody, and I feel like it's worthy of talking about.
Yes.
Harry Shearer. Harry Shearer, because think of the doctor just having all these fun voices and being a real fun guy, really getting in the mix.
He wants to do different projects. He's always said.
I mean, now that the Simpsons thing, he's kind of worked it out.
Mm-hmm.
I know that he looks good in a cloak.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to recuse myself on that.
all
right, I'm hanging up on that guy. I'm going to this. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I got two for the topic.
What do you got?
This is Alex from Oklahoma City, by the way. I got, if it's British, David Mitchell.
Okay.
Just like a doctor who is not having a good time and who hates adventures.
That's a dude from Peep Show.
Yeah.
All right. Anybody else?
If it's American, I would say Amy Poehler, just because she's got that, like, that bubbliness, that fun, but also a capacity for infinite rage.
What about John Cameron Mitchell, as Hedwig as Doctor Who?
I would say, that, yeah, he's got the whimsy down.
He's definitely got the whimsy. Got the anger.
Mm-hmm. Got better pants than any doctor has ever had.
I love it. That's good. That's good. You're on your game down there in Oklahoma City.
Well, we...
Okay. It never gets tired.
Have you talked about the guy who played Walt's brother in Breaking Bad as maybe the new doctor? Hank?
Yeah. Oh, Dean Norris?
Dean Norris, maybe.
Dean Norris would be a pretty good Doctor
what about,
Who.
What about the kid who plays Walt Jr.?
R.J. Mitte?
Yeah.
As Doctor Who? Yeah. I would watch that.
Great.
I'm ready to crack the franchise open. I think it's time to shake it up.
I've never watched Doctor Who. People tell me it's so good.
You don't watch the show?
No, people say watch the one where there are like mannequins attacking.
It's too late. If you're not into it now, you can't suddenly get into that. The ship sailed. I'm going to play a record by Candy Claws here on its 10-inch that I have. It's a split 10-inch between Candy Claws and Mike Adams at his honest weight. On Flannel Graph, we're going to listen to this, and we will be back shortly. Listen to this record right now. Oh, how about that? That's Candy Claws from a 10-inch record. The name of that song. Do you ever feel that way? Flannel Graph Records, always great label. They reissued the Rock Rotten Rule on vinyl. So good. And, all right, hold on one second. I'm going to just go back to the phones. Best Show, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. This is Mikey out in Southwest Newbridge. I'm sorry, I wasn't able to listen to the show. I just got home. What's the topic?
We were talking about who a good new Doctor Who would be.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Let me think. Oh, what about this guy I've been hearing about all day? Josh Ostrovsky?
Oh, Josh. Oh, is that he goes by the name the Fat Jew, right?
Oh, maybe. What's his story? He sounds like he's really creative.
Well, he might be the opposite of creative. Actually, he's
he's got his own show.
Well, he's kind of like a guy who has been kind of stealing other people's stuff for a while now, and I think it caught up to him.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That poor guy.
I'm sorry. I know. It's a bummer, right?
Oh, okay. Well, what about Andy Summers? He's English.
From The Police. The guitarist from The Police?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, I mean, look, he is English, but I don't know what his acting chops would be.
Okay. Well, how about Waddy from The Exploited?
Again, I might question the range.
Okay, fair enough. Hey, did you see Straight Outta Compton yet?
Not yet.
I wanted to go see it today.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm kind of busy, guy, so I wanted to go to, like, a noon showing, the first showing.
Mm-hmm.
I get in there. There's no one there. Popcorn thing, barren. Not a kernel in there.
The popcorn, like the concession stand?
Yeah. I need popcorn, so I hightailed it.
Oh, so you didn't watch the movie?
I didn't watch it. No, I need it. I need popcorn.
Okay.
But you know what's interesting? I was walking home, I realized, you know, I know the names of like of three of the guys. I know Ice Cube, of course, and I know Eazy-E.
Yeah.
And I know MC Ren.
MC Ren. Yeah.
But I don't know the other guy. Who's the other guy?
Dr. Dre?
No, I know Dr. Dre. There's another guy then.
DJ Yella?
That's it. Who is that?
He was the DJ.
Oh. Well, that makes sense, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, they had a DJ.
Well, what is MC? Oh, MC Ren's an MC. So they had that many MCs?
Yeah, it was a group.
It's a lot of guys talking.
Well, rapping, you know.
Oh.
So you didn't watch the movie?
I didn't watch it. I might go to tomorrow to see it, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe go to a later showing.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, I didn't totally waste the day. I was going home, and I stopped off at this strip club. Gentlemen's
okay.
Agreement.
Okay.
And they had this MC there who was a female Elvis Presley impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 'cause he died, I guess, however many years ago it was, yesterday or 2 days ago.
Okay.
So I guess it was like a tribute to him or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she was great. She gave no F's whatsoever. And her stage name was great. It's Elvis Coxello.
What is that?
Elvis Coxello? I'd spell it out for you, but I don't think you'd like it.
Okay, yeah.
It's three words.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm kind of hanging with you there. I'd appreciate it if you didn't spell it out. I think
sure, sure.
Yeah, so that's her fair. Stage name, huh?
Yeah. Hey, have you heard this thing about the Bin Laden cassettes that they found, like the stash?
Of Bin Laden cassettes?
Yes.
No.
In the news yesterday.
I did not hear that.
They're going through all these tapes that I guess he left behind or something.
Mm-hmm.
Big Oreo Speedwagon fan.
Osama Bin Laden. Liked REO Speedwagon.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Latter-day stuff. He liked good fun.
So even the stuff after, like, Keep on Loving You.
Yep, yep, yeah.
So, wow, he was like a late-period REO Speedwagon fan. I never would have predicted that.
You wouldn't peg him for that, would you?
No, no.
Maybe the early stuff. I don't know. Oh.
Well, people are going to like...
My ears are fried.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are your ears fried?
Well, I just got back from Fuzzfest.
Oh, you went to Fuzzfest?
I did, yes. My ears and my liver are fried, I should say.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's a pretty intense thing. I couldn't make it this year out
to
St. Louis.
Yes.
You know, it's for people who don't know, it's one of the best of the national, like, garage rock festivals that going.
You're telling me. I mean, I'll tell you, this year, it was off the hook. Wait, is it off the hook or is it on the hook? Or is it a chain?
It's off the chain?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
I'm pretty sure it's off the chain. Yeah, off the chain. I don't think anything is on the hook. Right? I don't know. Like, that sounds like it would be caught if it was on the...
Yeah,
right?
You're right.
You'd be like, oh, that's on the hook.
So if it's on the hook, it's like it's under control and it's not wild.
Yeah, no, this would be off the chain then.
Well, anyway, it was on or off whatever the appropriate item is that it was on or off of.
Uh-huh. So you mean, I'm assuming it sounds like you had a good time.
Oh, it was a blast, man. And so many great bands. Like, every band you ever wanted to see was there at this thing.
Like who?
Oh, gosh. Man. The Flaming Whimpers, Pizza Explosion, Fat Lisa and the Bible Stealers, Jinx Patrol, Uptight Middle Children, who else? Low Stinkers, Face on Fire, Dump Cakes, mm-hmm. Stromboli, mm-hmm. David Miscavige and the Miscarriages, Arabian Necktie Sound System, the Dirt Clods were there, Electric Penmanship.
Mm-hmm.
They were great.
Yeah.
Telephone Meatballs, Store Bought Mayhem, Schindler's List, Skunk Baxtard, the Air Conditioning Eunuchs.
Mm-hmm.
Who else?
I could use them tonight. I don't have air conditioning here.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I could use the Air Conditioning Eunuchs to play.
They're great. Who else? Larry and the Panty Magicians, Sexophone,
mm-hmm.
Tote Bag Jump Shot, Dr. Marbleface, the Embryonic Rickshaw, the mm-hmm. Einstein Mutants. They were great. Hamburger Helter Skelter, Goldie's Haunches,
mm-hmm.
Ricky and the Flesh. Papa John Smurf was great. And that's just to name a couple.
Wow, that's a crazy. That's a crazy lineup.
It is. My band Hidley Ho Neighbor even played.
Wait, Hidley Ho Neighbor?
Mm-hmm.
What is Hidley Ho Neighbor?
Are you strapped in?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you got your garage helmet on?
Yeah, I guess, you know, sure. My garage helmet's on, yes.
Well, we are the world's only Ned Flanders-themed garage rock band.
A Ned Flanders-themed... Because that's a garage rock band, though.
Yeah.
Okay, that's funny because I saw this thing in the news about a Ned Flanders-themed metal band.
We were first!
Oh, I'm sorry. They're called Oakley Doakley, but you guys were first.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That's a real hot button for me. I gotta say, I mean, it's embarrassing. You know, I get really angry when people think someone else came up with something that I actually did first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like what are other hot buttons for you?
Well, like you know, saying YOLO, eating candy bars with utensils. Calling guys Broham, having a podcast, wearing Crocs, using paper plates for Frisbees, using hashtags, using the phrase fourth meal, doing a mic drop, not wearing Crocs, doing a mic pickup, wearing baggy jeans, saying who's your daddy, wearing tight jeans, spraying Faygo, liking pet sounds, cleaning up Faygo, saying things suck, putting that peeing kid's sticker on your car window, saying things rule, things like that.
And you were first to all of those things?
I think so, yeah.
You know
Can
what?
Can you dispute that?
Well, I'm not going to, let's neither here nor there about
sure.
that. I mean, okay. Just tell me more about Fuzz Fest since I didn't have a chance to go this year. You had a lot of fun because I saw friends who were there and they were Instagramming all sorts of photos from it.
Oh yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah. But it wasn't just music fun.
Mm-hmm.
There were some great panels this year.
Oh wow, they had panels.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh man, more some high points. How to survive as a musician from 1969 in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. Is the Boss FZ2 the heaviest fuzz box of all time?
Okay.
My favorite was Measure Twice and Cut Once, The Quest for the Perfect Bowl Cut. That was a great one.
Okay.
My Camel Hair Vest is Itchy.
All right.
That was a good one. Step Up to the Mic Stacks, Getting Your Record Reviewed in Ugly Things Magazine.
Wow, that's a pretty specific panel.
Yeah. Another great one was Garage Yoga and Fuzz Meditation.
Huh.
Yeah.
So that's like the more spiritual side of...
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And there was this epic trivia game.
Uh-huh.
And I actually won it.
Oh, really?
I got first, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
The guy I was in the finals against, Upper Detroit Louie.
Uh-huh.
He's the bassist in the Air Conditioning Unix.
Okay.
You're never going to believe this. He didn't know who the original drummer in the Chocolate Watch Band was.
Okay, I mean, I don't know who that is either. Hello?
That was me dropping my phone. It was a phone drop.
A phone drop?
Yeah, yeah.
Why did you drop your phone?
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Pete Curry.
Uh-huh. Okay.
He was the original drummer.
All right. I didn't know that.
You garage dummy on me.
Well, garage, what did you just...
I called you a garage dummy on me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like I'm saying nummy, but I'm not.
Yeah.
Numbers. Ever say numbers when you eat something real good?
When I eat something...
Yeah.
No, I don't. I've never actually... You do?
I have a friend, Michael, who loves saying that.
Uh-huh. Whenever he eats something and he just like...
He goes, it's nummy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't... I try not to... Yeah, I don't... It wouldn't even cross my mind to do that.
That's fair enough.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you like show business, right?
Sure.
Well, you would have loved Garagio and Rocky, the Midwest best garage rock ventriloquist act.
The Midwest's best.
Yeah.
Garage. That's.
Yeah.
And that's what they. Well, it's kind of weird that you'd have to call your like that it would be known as the Midwest's. Number one, garage ventriloquist act?
Yeah.
Because I would think that
there couldn't be more than one doing it to where you could just call yourself the world's best.
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding? They're nowhere near as good as Freddy and the Trash Man or Gory and Mort or Sky and the Saxon.
Uh-huh.
Nowhere near as good as those guys.
I've never heard of any of those.
Looks like you need to go back to garage rock school, son. Uh-huh. Oh, man, speaking of?
Uh-huh.
The stars of that garage rock show were also there.
Oh, wow. I've seen that show.
Yeah. It's this new show on Netflix, Garage.
Yeah.
I've only seen the first episode, and it's the one where Mike, Shelley, Phil, and Rhonda have tickets to the Big OC show.
Yeah.
But they're all grounded because they set fire to their school with a Corvette that they set on fire.
Mm-hmm.
They ended up launching the Corvette into the vestibule of the school.
Like the flaming Corvette.
Yep, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's a word you don't hear much anymore. Vestibule?
Yeah.
Outside of like a Chuck Berry song or something.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that... Vestibule, that's kind of a word that's worked its way out of the lexicon.
Would you do me a favor and use it in a sentence right now, just for my own uh-huh. personal enjoyment?
Leave your umbrella in the vestibule.
That's pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, or there's a coat rack in the vestibule. Hang your coat there.
I like the first one better.
Oh, okay. I was not trying to top it. I didn't think we were ranking them.
I'm just saying if I had to green light one,
uh-huh.
I'd go with the first one.
Oh, see, okay.
I know Hollywood terms too. Uh-huh.
The yeah. green. So you'd green. So if someone was in the business of green lighting,
yeah.
uses of the put it, using the word vestibule in a sentence, you would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if that.
Who would star in this thing?
In what?
Who would star in this laugher?
What, the vestibule?
The vestibule movie.
Uh-huh. Yeah, see, I think this is pretty out there. I don't know who would star in a thing like that.
Okay, we could put into Turnaround.
Wow, you really do know
that. I know my stuff!
Yeah!
Yeah.
I give you credit. You know, you got the lingo down.
I know, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that show is nuts.
I've only seen the first one. Have you seen more?
I saw one episode when there was like a record show, and then they were fighting over this Mummy's record.
Ooh!
And then it turned out it wasn't even the same Mummy's.
It was a different Mummy?
Like they were all fighting, and they were like their friendship was compromised because they were mm-hmm. just like, "I want that Mummy's record," and it turned out it was like. Mummies was spelled differently.
Oh, it was like it was the Mummies.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good episode, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was okay.
It takes a while for the series to get rolling, I think, nowadays, mm-hmm. right?
A lot of time, people have to warm up to these shows.
Yeah.
They don't just... some of these shows are growers now.
Is that a real term?
Hmm. It's not like laugher or the other ones you were using.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I'm going to write it down regardless.
Okay.
My notebook, my showbiz notebook.
So you have a little thing of like a little showbiz terminology?
It's like a notepad, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, might come in handy someday.
It's in there. It's in.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You heard about the Garage Father, right?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, you know who he is, right?
Yeah. No, Todd-aphonic Todd, the garage father, who pretty much runs the whole garage scene. For people who don't know, he's a guy who pretty much he's like the... It all goes through him. The whole scene runs through him, and you can see him kind of... He's resorted to some pretty brutal tactics to kind of... make it clear who the boss is. He has this baseball bat that's shaped like a teardrop guitar, like an old 60s teardrop guitar, and it's got these really sharp tuning pegs on it.
Yeah.
I mean, he really, when all things considered, he's just about as bad as Power Pop Pop Pop.
I think he is. I think he's brutal. And uh-huh. I'll tell you, man, I've suffered many a beatdown from the Garage Father's wicked scepter, that thing.
His wicked scepter.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
What?
Oh, I thought you were making a reference to, I thought you were going to be like, well, all right, huh? Like that. You know what I mean?
No. What are you talking about?
Well, it's from a sketch. Okay. Never mind.
How do I know about a drawing you did?
Oh, it's not that kind of sketch. Look, what's going on with the Garage Father? Is he okay?
Well, no. No one really knows where he is right now. Tom, there was a garage coup.
A garage coup?
Yes, yes. The Supreme Garage Leader. That's what Todd wanted to be called during the festival.
Mm-hmm.
He was in full garage dictator mode. He was wearing one of those Paul Revere and the Raiders costumes.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked good in it, though, I gotta say. But he was acting way more like Idi Amin than Phil Volk.
Who is Phil Volk?
Dropped the phone again.
Are
you serious?
Is that
you
making a
statement?
Is that you making a statement when you?
It's a phone drop. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know who Phil Volk is.
You have a preschool radio station, and you don't know who he is.
Well, it's not. It's not a preschool radio. That's a
yes.
new one.
Yeah.
That's a preschool radio station
for little munchkins.
Yeah. Well, it's not. But.
Yeah.
Uh huh.
So, okay. Well, anyway, Phil Volk was the bassist for Paul Revere and the Raiders from 65 to 67.
Uh-huh. Okay, and why exactly should I know exactly who was in Paul Revere and the Raiders at every point in their history?
I thought you liked this kind of music.
Uh-huh. No, I do. I just don't. Go ahead. What's going on?
Well, anyway, Todd was demanding that all the festival goers and all the bands put together one of those huge choreographed presentations that the North Koreans do and did for Kim Jong-il or who's ever in charge now.
Uh-huh. Really?
Know? Yes. But nobody wanted to do it. And he got really mad and he started riding through the crowd on his horse.
His horse?
Yes. He was riding around on a horse and he was hitting everyone with the guitar bat.
A guitar bat. So like
yes,
that
he has one.
Like that guitar that is it like the one John Fogerty plays in like center field?
Oh my God, no. Well, it's close, but isn't that the weirdest thing you've ever seen? A guy playing a guitar shaped into a bat?
Yeah, it's like
that plays?
Like he couldn't. It's weird. It's a weird thing, like the idea like I can't sing a song about baseball unless I and playing a guitar shaped like a baseball bat.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not like he plays song like guitar shaped like other things when he sings songs about those.
No, like a guitar shaped like an alligator for Born on the Bayou or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, he's not doing that.
No.
Bayou.
Excuse me?
Bayou.
Oh, Bayou, yeah. See, I never know. I had the same thing with Scott Baio. How do you say that name? I always get it confused.
Well, you got that right. It's Scott Baio. And Born on the Bayou.
Do you remember when Scott Baio played the guitar in some of those latter day Happy Days
episodes? I don't remember that.
He did, and it was in the shape of a shark because they were already making fun of that jump the shark thing.
Uh huh.
Yep.
Okay. Like within the show, they were making fun of it.
It was, yeah.
Uh huh.
Yep.
So what? You got me on the edge of my seat here.
Oh,
with this.
Yes. Okay, so then, anyway, the crowd rises up,
mm-hmm.
and they knock Todd from his mount.
Okay.
They unmounted him.
Mm-hmm.
It was like that scene from that Trent L. Strauss film, The Unmounting and Subsequent Exsanguination of Colonel Jessup L. McVornelmort.
Ugh, that movie.
You've seen it.
Not into it. I saw it when I was a kid.
Oh, as a kid?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
They played it at this thing on, like, a Saturday matinee. I think they played it accidentally.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It sounds like it. That's a horrific movie.
Yeah.
And did you have nightmares?
I did. I still
do. You still have them?
Still, yes.
Can you describe one?
No, I can't.
Please?
Well, it has a lot of, a fair amount of exsanguination in it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not for children to experience.
No. Children are not supposed to see the draining of blood from a human body.
That's something you see from 11 on.
Well, that's a little young also. I would say no one needs to see it.
Well, we could argue that all night, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, listen. The crowd picks up Todd, and they carry him across St. Louis to the big arch.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to string him up there, you know, on the arch. But nobody could figure out how to use a winch. So they just tied him to one of those fancy casino steamboats that run up and down the Mississippi for tourists.
Wow.
Yeah, he got steamboated.
Ooh, that's awful.
It is. And as the steamboat steamed out of view,
uh-huh.
We could just barely make out Todd singing, "Deep River, oh, Jimmy Crack Corn, and I don't care."
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You get it?
Though, yeah, I do. That's from Vacation.
Yes.
Those are two things that Chevy Chase says in Vacation.
Yes. And I didn't hear it, but someone else said that you could even hear him say something about how they should have spray-painted honky lips on the side of the steamboat.
Which,
so he had a sense of humor to the very end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
You know, in the scheme of all that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, but I want you not to worry about something, okay?
What's that?
I don't want you to worry about the stuff that Bobby Big Muff was saying. You know, he was joking when he was saying that stuff about you, when he was introducing all the bands.
Who?
Bobby Big Muff?
I have no idea who Bobby Big Muff is.
Oh, he's this DJ from Columbia, Missouri. Uh-huh. And he was emceeing the whole thing this year because I guess you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And he's kind of mining a similar thing as you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How so?
Well, he has this cool radio show where he makes fun of food and old dumb rock bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like his big targets right now are French Bread Pizza and Mike and the Mechanics.
Those are his big targets.
Those are his big targets right now, yeah. He's actually making some inroads into the comedy scene.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he just signed on to play this grumpy DJ on this show called Bob's Burgers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the DJ's name is Tim Shrapnel.
Oh.
Real cranky pants.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So what did this guy say about me?
Oh, let me think. Well, he was saying stuff like, "Hey, everybody, Tom couldn't be here tonight. He was too busy washing Paul Rudd's car to get him to come on his dumb radio show."
Oh,
stuff like that.
That's nice.
What else? "It's a shame Tom isn't here. I would have loved to have heard him lecture us for 50 minutes about why Billy Crystal's new show isn't any good."
Nice.
What's another one? Oh, hey, everybody, I just got this very exciting text from Tom. He said he wants you guys to be the first to know that IFC is picking up his new show, Things That Bother Me That You Need to Know About.
Mm-hmm.
And there was another one. It was, "Please send your thoughts to Tom. He was mistaken for a wet, rabid Sasquatch and is now eating rotten venison in a cage at the Newbridge Cryptozoology Prison."
Mm-hmm.
And there was one that was like, "Hey, Tom would
okay,
be here."
I don't need to. That's enough.
Really?
Yeah.
There's like 20 more.
I don't need to hear. No. I mean, I don't even know who this guy is, and I have no idea why he would say any of those things about me.
Well, I mean, he didn't know about you either.
Wait, he didn't know about me? Well, but if he didn't know about me, why would he say all that mean stuff about me?
Because I told him.
You told him what?
I told him a bunch of things about you that would make him mad.
Uh-huh. Like what? I don't like where this is going. Like what? What did you tell him?
I told him that you said you were the king of the cool DJs and that his show was like the kiddie pool equivalent of yours.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I told him that you were going to run him off the airwaves. You were going to do to him what Howard Stern did to John DiBella in Philly.
Uh-huh.
And I told him you were going to murder him.
Wait, what was that?
I told him you were going to murder him.
Why? Oh, why would you tell anyone I was going to murder them?
Because I get a charge from it. I like pitting people against each other.
Uh-huh.
It gives me pleasure.
Well, that's really sick and really disturbing.
Maybe you're sick and really disturbing. Uh-huh.
Well, you're the one doing this stuff. I'm going to say you're the sick one and the disturbing one.
Well, it's called revenge, and I need to get it on you.
Wait, you need to get revenge on
yes.
me. I don't even know you, and I don't know, what was your name, Mikey?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Mikey, what on earth could I have ever done to you?
Oh, let me refresh your memory, okay? Mm-hmm. Record store day, 2012. You were four places in front of me at the CD Submarine.
Uh-huh.
There were two copies of that Sonic 7-inch box left.
Yeah.
One of the boxes had a slight ding on the corner. You picked it up, examined it, saw the ding, and you put it back. You took the pristine one for yourself. I had to buy the one with the ding.
Oh, okay. I mean, this is 3 years ago. I barely remember any of this. But that's just a packaging thing. That's just like a bump on the packaging that would not affect the sound of the records.
Ooh. I can't play it without hearing that ding. I can hear the ding whenever I listen to it. That damn ding is all I hear.
Can you please stop saying ding?
Oh, ding you.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's
And I'll tell you one charming. Thing. It's
yeah.
affected all my listening.
Mm-hmm.
That damn ding has infected all of my other records. Now they all have dings.
They all have dings.
Yeah, Phantom or not.
Mm-hmm.
You can imagine how bad it makes that Phantom Dings EP sound, right?
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Maybe you're the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Uh-huh. Well,
You took away all my enjoyment of all music.
I took away your enjoyment of all music.
Yes.
No, I didn't.
And now I'm going to take away your enjoyment of Oxygen.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So you're going to get me?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, please. How are you going to get me? I want to hear more about this.
Well, let's see here. Looks like I have four options in the near future. Looks like you and that dweeb who looks like a cross between a slightly taller Peter Dinklage and a fat Ian McCulloch are hitting the road very soon.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Numo's in Seattle, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
August 27th, I could get you there.
Uh-huh.
The 29th, the Doug Fir in Portland,
yeah.
I could get you there for
well,
sure.
Well, that's sold out, so you better have a ticket already for that one.
Wait, what?
Uh-huh.
There's no tickets left for that?
No, that's sold out.
Oh, my God. That must be a very strong market for you guys.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, Portland's a good city.
Ugh. Damn it. I mean, I know you guys had great special guests at those other shows you did earlier in the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming these upcoming ones will be no different, right?
Yeah, well, that's true. We got a lot of surprises lined up for people at all the shows.
All right. Well, I guess I'll have to get you at either, hang on here, the Great American Music Hall in San Francisco on September 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty prestigious venue.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty exciting. Yeah.
I think they've had everyone there from the Grateful Dead to Cannibal Corpse.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, that's a pretty diverse lineup.
Where else?
Yeah.
Oh, the El Rey Theater in Los Angeles on September 5th.
Yeah.
I'll definitely get you there.
Okay.
Oh, man.
What?
A lot of FPs in Lipstick City, right?
FPs, famous people.
Yeah, I can only imagine who your guest might be for that show.
Well, it'll be fun.
Give me a hint.
No.
Please?
No.
Why?
No, because it's a surprise.
Give me a hint.
Uh-uh.
Come on.
No.
Please.
No.
Why not?
Because I'm not going to.
You're being a butt.
Okay. Well, it's not happening.
Well.
Mikey.
Irregardless, I'm going to get you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You're going to get me.
Yeah. I'm going to get you with my laser horse whip.
Your what? Your laser horse whip.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Wait, is that it? Is that your horse whip?
That's it, yeah.
Uh-huh.
going to hurt, right?
Well, that sounds painful, yeah.
Yeah, hang on. Let me turn the laser part on. Hang on.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. That sounds terrifying.
It's going to hurt, right?
That sounds painful.
I think it's going to hurt you real bad.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
What was that?
What?
What was that?
Well, I told you it was a laser horse whip.
Uh-huh.
It makes a fun horsey sound, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, so the whip, it makes, I thought you said the whip was to whip horses with.
What? What uh-huh. kind of heartless bastard do you think I am?
Uh-huh.
I only whip humans with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you jerk.
So you only whip humans with your horse, your laser
yeah.
horse whip.
You're going to steal my whip.
Uh-huh.
You're going to feel it hard.
Uh-huh. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh, oh, my God.
What?
Yeah. Oh. Wait, what?
Okay, what was that?
What's that? I think they're coming from the whip.
What was
weird.
That? That was...
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This whip has two horns.
Uh-huh.
I didn't even know it had one.
Yeah. Why would a whip have any horns?
I don't know. Ow! Wait. What's going on? Ow! Oh, no! I'm whipping and lasering myself! Oh, no! That's not fun.
You're whipping and... Okay, he hung up. Wow, that ended as weird as... That's his... Yeah, I don't even know what to make of that. Holy... Oh, boy. Hold on a second. Here's something from Harlan T. Bobo. Listen to this.
It's all jumbled up in a love-struck heartache stew. This blood-soaked cross-country love affair with you.
Ah, Harlan T. Bobo. From an album called Too Much Love. It came out, it's been a while since this album came out. I'm going to say this album's a straight up, it's like Shawshank Redemption. It's a modern classic. Modern classics, guys. Yeah, come on. Who doesn't like these modern classics? And this is on Goner. Goner reissued this with, there's a bonus track on it now. Too Much Love. Can't mess with Harlan T. Bobo. So, let's see what's going on. I'm going to go back. We got Paul Shear's back. Rob Hubel's back. We got a fun, family-friendly night of good old-fashioned entertainment.
Praise him.
Yes, praise him. What is the most what is the most kid friendly thing you guys have done? Like,
well, Paul's done kid shows.
Yo Gabba Gabba.
Okay,
would be. I did a live stage show, Yo Gabba Gabba, which is the closest thing I've ever been to as far as a rave.
Uh-huh.
But for 5 year olds,
yeah.
They shoot confetti and shoot lights, and these kids run down to the front of the stage and they go bonkers.
Yeah, yeah, they're losing it.
Yeah, I went to Atlanta and did a live show with Yo Gabba Gabba.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty amazing.
And were these kids like, that's the guy from Human Giant?
They were more fans of School for Scoundrels, just because they're more like, they like the alt comedy kind of stuff.
Yeah, were these kids like
Billy Bob fans? And
they're like Piranha 3 Double D.
Yeah. These kids, yeah, they're like, why didn't they do more with the students in School for Scandals?
Why didn't they let them improvise? They should have let them improvise.
Yeah.
The secret of all those movies was improvisation.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, who look, I'm going to play devil's advocate and say,
sure,
I think Billy Bob Thornton is one of our strongest improvisers when it just comes to just pure improv.
Like, here's what I'll say. Like,
you
want to
eat them potatoes?
I will
tell you the one thing that they were obsessed about doing on that movie was having Napoleon meet Sling Blade.
Uh-huh.
And
yeah.
And there was a, can we get the cameras on you guys for, we'll put this in the DVD, Napoleon and Sling Blade together.
Yeah.
And, I watched that happen numerous times.
Shut up, Wolf.
It's just like, he's like, what do these two guys have, what are their things in common? Like, neither of them want to do these characters anymore. I can't believe that Billy Bob Thornton was that guy at any point. It's so hard to think of him as a guy where you didn't know what his deal, like,
who's
this mystery man? And then now it's just like, nah, it's Billy Bob Thornton. It's just like, we have.
But his, he really did transform for that, you know, his head was enlarged. He had his head enlarged.
He pushed that jaw out. His jaw went out. He had an inhuman skull.
Yeah, and then he was like,
and he did that kind of work on School for Scoundrels, too. Mm-hmm. He pulled his jaw in just slightly. It looked like a normal face, but it was just, if you look at it, a little
during all the taser scenes, like, because he had to get ready for the scene where they all tasered each other.
Yeah, the paintball.
When does School for Scoundrels come out?
Soon. I got to check the IMDb, the movie. That's the Internet Movie Database.
It's going to be pretty. It's at the Cinerama Dome. It's
a premiere, yeah.
It's playing behind Mission Impossible. Rogue Nation. They just play it. Like,
did I tell you?
You go to the other side of the screen. You can see School for Scoundrels is playing. You walk behind.
Movie theaters do that now. They show movies on either side
of the
screen.
Movie posters have it on both sides.
Just to save money. Side. Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Hey, welcome to the Cinerama
Dome.
These
studios, man. Yeah, they know.
Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation is 2 hours and 5 minutes. But if you'd like to go behind the screen, you can watch School for Scoundrels.
And on the flip side tonight, we have School for Scoundrels.
84 minutes.
Yeah, let me tell you a little bit about it. It's Todd Phillips.
Jacinda Barrett from The Real World. And of course, John Hader. Heater.
Yeah. I don't think I've done any kid shows.
You haven't?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't have kids, so.
Well, I didn't have kids when I did Yo Gabba Gabba.
So it was, I mean, that was inappropriate. Then you shouldn't have done the show. Why would you do it?
Yeah, you should have been flagged before they even let you in the building. Like, you can't go.
Why would a person without kids do that?
Walk
doesn't make
in.
Any sense.
Yeah.
Well, to me, it's all about, you know, I mean, my whole thing is about cultivating
like,
the audience.
Unless you're
cultivating the next gen. Uh-huh. You know, for me, it's about, you know, attracting that kind of YouTube marketplace. I got to build that audience base, that strong core.
So you planted that seed now in them.
Yeah.
And now you can be like, hey, kids, let me tell you all about the Wolf Pop Network. We have all kinds of shows you guys are going to be interested in. We also have this download that you get mommy or daddy to take you over to Vimeo. And just usually if you get $3.99 allowance, you can.
A lot of people don't have a patience or don't have the patience to work young children.
Uh-huh.
But in 5 years, and I've already done that about 3 years ago, I'm going to be paying off huge dividends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's going to be very.
You're implanting the idea into their little minds.
Yeah. The thing that actually gets me all the time about Yo Gabba Gabba is that parents recognize me from the show, but of course their kids don't because their children are three years old. They have no idea who I am. And then they force me onto their children. They go, you know him. He's from Yo Gabba Gabba. Yeah. Do a knock knock joke.
Yeah.
And then it's uncomfortable for me and the child to perform for that.
For the parent. You're both
performing. That's why
if I was dressed up in a big mono costume or Muno costume, I think they would recognize
me. That's why I stopped doing my visits to children's hospitals. I used to really, you know, go and visit kids.
You got dressed up as Captain Jack Sparrow?
No. But, I mean, I would go and visit sick kids, but then I realized they don't recognize me. So
there's
no
a lot
point,
of those kids
no
don't
point.
Watch Transparent.
Yeah, there's no point in my cheering them up because they don't even know who I am.
Yes.
So it's like, why am I even doing this? Like, why am I here?
I always ask at Children's Hospital, I say to them, can I fly her when I see these kids? Just because it's great to just leave them with something, you know.
Or you'll go to a children's hospital and hand out flyers for a TV show you're working on?
Yeah, TV show. This Vimeo download, we got a lot of flyers. I got to get rid of them. So I'm going to hit a lot of children's hospitals in the next week.
Maybe you leave behind some, like, 10% off download codes. Like,
well, if they put
only
their
360 for
if
you.
They put their Obamacare number in there or their Blue Cross Blue Cross number, they get
billed.
A number. Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys have. You guys are like...
They say laughter is the best medicine, so...
You guys are actual, like insurance fraud is actually a big part of...
A big part of the marketing
comedy
special.
Straight up insurance
fraud. Straight up insurance fraud.
Yeah. Speaking of movies,
At one point, weren't you guys going to do like a Human Giant movie?
Yeah, we had a we had a good script or a good outline for a script, and then our computers were stolen.
Oh yeah,
and this is in the age before backups
at Comic-Con.
Comic-Con.
How do you know this? Oh,
well, you had called the best show.
Yes,
to talk about
that's
it on
right.
the air.
It was upsetting. It was I will say that that was an experience that was really off-putting and upsetting
when
we were robbed. We went to Comic-Con. To work on this movie idea. So it was me and Jason Wallner and Shear and Aziz.
This is a real quiet place to kind of just work, you know, Comic-Con.
Yeah. Well, no, but we rented a beach house outside of San Diego.
Okay.
In a town called Oceanside.
And it was so cracky. Like,
the town is pretty sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. To the point that there was an alley next to our house where there were just heroin needles.
Well, it was like one of those cut-through little stairwells, you know, that
to the beach.
The stairs down to the beach. That was right next to our house.
It's where people might hire Fletch to do
kill them.
Kill them, yeah.
Yeah.
The character Fletch, not Chevy Chase.
No, but he will. Chevy Chase, actually, you can hire him at this point to
murder kill
you
people.
Also.
He'll do it very sloppily and potentially a little bit racist.
But, So we're down at in Oceanside in our beach house, and we're the first night we're drinking beer in the hot tub.
Four dudes
house.
In a hot tub.
You know, it's
living the
a
life.
True story. This is a true story. So we're talking about ideas for a movie, and I'm not joking. I looked in the house, and I thought I saw somebody in the house, and I said to everybody, I was like, "Oh my God, I think." I swear, I think I just saw somebody in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And
we all
like, no,
thought that he was
no.
trying to scare us.
Yeah, right? You're just messing with us. You know, you're drinking beer and blah, blah, blah. This is a prank show.
You're letting all the fantastic elements of Comic-Con creep into your hot tub shenanigans.
It's a lot of fantastical elements. And then
so we went to bed that night.
So we went
fine.
To bed that night. Mm-hmm. No, we didn't think about it again.
Yeah.
And the next day, we go down to Comic-Con, and we come back at the end of the day.
Yeah. And we all go back to our rooms, and I remember going, oh, where's my laptop? I left it here. Oh, you know, I probably left it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And everyone, I think, had that same thought. We all met in the kitchen. Like, is your laptop gone?
Yeah. And all of our rooms were kind of ransacked.
Yeah.
And
all the TVs were gone.
Okay. Yeah, all the TVs were gone.
All
the electronics were gone. And then, like, there's some paintings missing from this house. So all of a sudden, we were like, oh, wait a second. We've been robbed.
Yeah, that
we
feeling.
Got robbed. Yeah, so.
And we, of course, reported it. And then the owner promptly blamed us as the thieves.
Uh-huh.
They were like, she's like, you're the thieves.
Long story short, I think that the homeowners that rented us their home came and robbed
Alma
us.
Alma Carpenter. I'll say her name on air. Yeah. Alma Carpenter.
I think she came.
Awful person. I had to call her for months. Hunting down our deposit back.
I think they robbed us, and then so then we never did the movie. We soured on the
well,
movie.
Well, no, we had the movie script and that outline, and then we're like, okay, it got stolen. Let's meet back up. Let's talk it through.
Yeah,
we outlined it again.
Yeah,
Jason left his computer in the car. Jason had the only copy of it, and his car was broken into, and another laptop was stolen.
Oh,
so both times we worked on the Human Giant movie. Laptops with all the information were gone.
Wait, what was her? Because she's got a movie out now.
What?
Alma Carpenter?
Yeah.
What?
What's
it's great. She wrote this movie.
Oh, man. It's like a dark kind of Coen Brothers-esque kind of.
Really amazing.
Oh,
yes. She's just one of
the. Does it star like an Indian guy and like a guy who's like a gap teeth guy and then another guy
she's
who's
a
just
gap teeth guy?
He's like the other guy's kind of like a cowboy.
Yeah. It's got a cowboy.
An X Factor.
A by the book guy.
Yeah.
An X Factor.
Yeah.
And then another guy who is stuck assembling the stuff in an editing facility.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, wait a second. She took our outline.
She stole our idea.
So that was the movie
that
never
the movie,
was.
Yeah.
Tom, do you go to Comic-Con? Do you like that?
I had been last year. I hadn't been in 10 years, and I went last year, and it was unrecognizable from 10 years earlier.
Is it too much entertainment for you now? Like you're more of a purist?
Well, no, it scares me now because it feels like there's just too many people in this area. What's the last time you were there?
I went this summer. I went last month.
Me too.
Yeah. And it feels like, it's too intense for me now. It feels like there's
just too
many
people.
Well, going
on the floor is awful, an awful experience because The lighting, I think, is really the biggest part of that. It's just
you like more subdued lighting.
Oh, I'm all about, you know, give me a little scarf and I'll put it over a lamp just to kind of give the room a little
personality.
I think the thing that would make that place feel a little more in control would be as if you made it darker in there also, so that way the guy in the stormtrooper suit also can't see. It's hard for him to see things. The guy in the stormtrooper suit who stops to look at things but has no peripheral vision while everybody's moving in any direction they want.
Rob, did you come with us to the Back to the Future convention?
Yeah, out in Burbank.
We went across the street from the Burbank Airport to the Back to the Future convention one time. Where everyone brought their DeLoreans and they had assembled cast members from the Back to the Future franchise there.
Let me see if I can guess who is at this thing, Back to the Future thing.
It's a convention.
It's a convention.
So Back to the Future fans.
Biff is there.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely, he's there. Definitely.
You ever hear his song?
Biff's song?
Yeah, Biff is a stand-up and he has a song about Back to the Future.
I didn't hear his song.
He kind of plays a song and it's all the questions that you want to ask. Biff.
Oh, I heard about that. Yes.
Did you like it or did you not like it?
I did not pursue it. I think that might answer the question. I never went and actually heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
Biff is there.
Yeah.
Chuck Berry's cousin is there, right?
Actually, Marvin the whole band. Marvin Berry and the band. They'll sign autographs for 20. You get all four.
They're there. You're a slacker, McFly. He's there, the principal, if he's still alive.
Strickland?
He's there.
I can't remember. Did Strickland make the list of the 100 best pop culture characters?
No, he did not. Girlfriend is the original girlfriend.
The original Jennifer, not Elizabeth Shue.
She's there. Elizabeth Shue, not there.
Not there.
No.
Michael J. Fox, not there.
No, not there.
No.
Christopher Lloyd?
Not there. No. Fake Crispin Glover is there.
Hung upside down.
Yeah. The one who probably has some brain damage now because he was hanging upside down for 3 months on a movie set. He's there.
It was Leah Thompson.
Okay.
Was there.
Okay. Adorable.
Biff was there.
Okay.
Hilarious.
Casey Semansko or whatever. The guy, his name was 3D in the movie, wears 3D glasses.
Okay. Talented.
Yeah.
There.
Okay.
The dog there.
Lovable.
Okay. The beautiful dog, Einstein.
Okay. Still, he's still hanging around.
Lovable. I feel like that may have been a fake dog.
Yeah, I'm going to say because he would be 40 at this point in years.
You know what is weird? The festival was not exclusive to Back to the Future because that's where I met Rip Taylor.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know, so there were other just sort of like...
yeah, they were in the main floor.
Yeah, okay. There were other just sort of like personalities there, and you could pay. And Rip Taylor was there, and I paid $20.
It's 20? How come... Who Everyone's said that 20. Is the...
Because like it's just Freddy. Easy. No one needs to change. Yeah. You know, it's just like, it's easy.
It's just like,
so I got a picture with Rip Taylor, and then he gave me a white chocolate lollipop of his face, and like kiss me on the cheek, and it was a highlight.
I told Kate Mulgrew was on the show that I did NTSF SDSUV, and I met her dog at one of the conventions, and her dog was signing autographs for $20 a paw. So they would dip the dog's paw in ink, and then put that on a piece of paper, and you'd pay $20.
Yeah.
For that.
Yeah, that's
sitting next to the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. Not the actual soup Nazi, the guy who played the soup Nazi.
So there must be a circuit that you get on.
Yeah.
You know, like an autograph circuit.
Yeah, how do you, is that a great day when you, or is that the worst? Is that the best day or worst day when you make the cut for that?
When you start to travel with it.
Yeah.
It probably is a bad day. When you're going, we got to go to Arizona this weekend. Yeah.
But, I mean,
no soup on a ladle.
But it's super, it's the easiest
He would
money.
Write that. He would write it on ladles, the soup Nazi. No soup for you.
But how, I mean, he's making, how much money is he making every day just doing that?
Like, I mean, all the ladles and the $20. I mean, I'm sure he's making a pretty penny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
We should be so lucky.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he could.
I mean, you know, praise him.
Praise the soup Nazi. Yes. Praise him.
I went to a Star Trek convention with Kate Mulgrew one time, And she was like, come hang with me and my friends. And
she was Janeway.
Janeway. And by the way, she is a rock star in that circuit because she's the only female captain. So she.
Do you think that she. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it did occur to me. Mm-hmm. Do you think that she can walk into one of those things? And I don't know her, so I'm not, I'm not making fun of her. But and just, if she wanted to, just have sex with anyone.
Oh, undoubtedly. I've never seen. I was there with Patrick Stewart, Shatner, and her. And by far, her, the love for her overshadowed everybody else because she's the female captain. And it just speaks to so many more people. Mm-hmm. And so we were out having dinner, and throughout the night, all of her Star Trek friends came in. Mm-hmm. And they would reveal this wad of money. I'm doing it now here, but you can't see it. But just open up your hand as large as it can go, but trying to make a C full. Of 20s. Like, oh,
that was in her, that was in her hand.
She told me she gets paid in bags of money.
Wow.
Well, I'm sure she loves this being broadcast as the this right now she's being hauled off.
Blowing the lid.
The IRS is raiding her compound right now.
Tom, do you do you like celebrities? Who Paul's talking about
like you guys.
Paul mentions a lot of famous people that he knows or has hung out with, and I just noticed that you hadn't mentioned any celebrities.
Yeah, who's the celebs? Who's in the Sharpland crew? Who are your hunties? I use that term because that's what Taylor Swift calls her best friends, the hunties.
Who do I actually like?
Who's your hunting?
Like, who do you like on the weekends? Who do you hang around?
Yeah,
with?
What? Because
we live in Los Angeles.
You live in Los Angeles. I end up hanging out at with a lot of landscapers and. Yeah. Guys who, you know, people like that, like lunch pail, like Ham and Eggers, just, just, you know, hard hat types.
Right.
And it keeps this show kind of grounded.
It's sort of the base. Yeah.
To where when guys like you come in.
It's more of a treat.
It's a treat. Exactly.
And you have the cast of Alpha House coming in next week, right?
The cast of Alpha House.
So who's that? John Goodman.
It's Mark Consuelos, John Goodman,
John Goodman's in it too, right?
Yeah, and, he'll be here.
And John
said,
Goodman, I think.
Yeah, we said John Goodman.
We have
Goodman.
John Goodman. We have the cast of Alpha House and the cast of Betas is going to be here.
And that's cool. So, you're doing a Betas reunion show.
Pretty cool.
That's really fun.
So it doesn't sound like, other than the cast of Alpha House, it doesn't sound like you are rolling around with a bunch
celeb
of
friends.
No, I don't. I don't.
You don't hang
with
out
show business.
It doesn't. Because Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock.
Well, that's
live
the thing
out
is
here.
The only reason I even brought it up is because Paul and I live in Los Angeles.
Yeah. No, you said that about 45 times on the show tonight. That you live. You know, it's not like a
wheat kale.
Could I live there? Deal.
No, you couldn't.
It's like anybody.
No, but Paul's
could
right. No, but Paul's right. Paul's right. What Paul said is accurate. Like, I don't think that you could live there.
No, you
I don't
couldn't.
Think that you,
so I couldn't cut it.
Your working class mentality wouldn't.
Sure.
Cut
well,
it
it's just that you're used to a different. You know, it sounds like you are hanging out with different. A different socioeconomic level.
We don't
level.
Even do sure. ham out there. We sure. don't do meat.
So, like, I would be walking.
We do pork belly.
I'd be, like, walking down Sunset Boulevard.
Sure.
And you guys would think I was, like, some sort of, like.
Oh, we'd go by on, like, one of those new little, not a Segway, but, you know, it looks like a skateboard, but it's like.
Yeah, it's like the bottom
half of the Segway. It's a futuristic
mode
of transportation.
Yeah. You'd wonder why I was not holding, like, some sort of, like.
Like a rain stick.
Like, or a drill to, like, kind of, like, why I'm not, like,
yeah, like, why
up.
Are you not a hard hat guy? Yeah.
Yeah.
Why,
yeah.
You look like a hard hat guy.
Why
know?
Is this guy not wearing a fluorescent vest?
Yeah.
Like, why
yeah,
is
yeah.
why is he on the street but not wearing some sort of fluorescent, you know, I would be
we
there.
Would assume you're on a break of some kind.
Sure. Maybe he's walking over to
a shady spot to eat out of his lunch
bag. Yeah, and we'd be going to like a Taibo class with like Shia LaBeouf.
Uh-huh.
Or
and I'm gonna go eat at Carney's
the
I'm
railroad
looking for like
car
a railroad car to eat at. Like I figured I'd walk all the way down to Norm's. I'd walk down La Cienega and eat at Norm's. These are all fun Los Angeles jokes for. Why did Jan's go out of business? Does anybody know? Where's Jan's, everyone? Like, I'm out in front of Jan's banging on the door. I liked your Texas toast so much. Please. I don't know what to eat with all this gluten-free in the mocha chocolate.
Yeah, Rob and I are doing 3 to 4 meals of Cafe Gratitude every day.
Okay.
You know, it's a beautiful place.
Sure. So So you guys are at places like that, and I'd just be like, why can't I just get a cup of coffee in this city?
Yeah.
Like, why do you guys
You want
have
a cold press? You want a single brew?
You got a French
Blue Mountain.
Low boca doca thick almond milk coconut thing.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that I was here that you didn't have, like, cold press on tap. We have that a lot. You know, it's a cold press on tap.
Do you guys even know about that? About juicing?
Not yet. No, no. What is juice? What
juicing,
is that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess the easiest way to explain it's like if you took a vegetable and you just like ground it up or blended it. And
until it became soft like liquid.
So it would be like I drink a lot of orange soda and a lot of grape soda. That's like the thing that soda is based on.
Yeah.
I've heard about that.
Without the carbonation. Yeah.
But if.
Okay.
And it would be like almost quadruple the price.
So that's
so
what
like
we
Sunny
have.
D. Like you're saying, like Sunny D, like that.
If you were to create
a
little
even
too,
more, little, even more like
a little too fibrous for me.
Yeah,
Sunny
yeah,
D.
yeah.
Like it really upsets my stomach.
There are two
I can't handle that health food.
There are two things in life that I've bought commercials for. One was Sunny D. I thought, oh, that's a really good orange juice, and I drank it.
Yeah.
Hard. Like I was like, ah.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's not for...
It's chemicals.
Poison.
Yeah,
it's chemicals. It's orange poison.
That, and I also believe that if I was really hungry, a Snickers had more properties than most to satisfy a hunger, if it was like a power bar.
Well, that's because they told you that in the commercial.
And I believe
I think they're allowed... Hasn't it come out recently? Yeah. Like, you can say anything you want about anything.
Yes.
Like, in a commercial, there's no laws.
Where?
You can say any sort of... you can make any kind of health claim or nutritional claim, and there's no laws. Like, we thought that there were laws.
Yeah.
You can say anything you want about a product. You can be like, oh, it promotes fighting cancer, Snickers.
We had a sponsor on how did this get made.
Snickers fights cancer.
And it was like, I won't use the name of the product, but it was like food well. And it was,
why are you protecting them?
Or it was like good food. And it's like, this is great food. It's good food. It's healthy food. And like, you can please never say it's good or healthy. It's it's just food. Yeah. It was snacks. It was like, but it was like, like healthy was in the name of the food. He's like, you can never say it's actually a healthy snack. Yeah. Hey, don't say it.
That's just a term.
Yeah. You just
snack wells, that you're not snacking well. That is also chemicals.
No, there was I had a great stretch, about 15 years ago where I'd be like, well, I can kill this whole box of snack wells, of course, because it's actually good for me.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, oh no, this is just as bad as anything. They just decided to call it snack wells. they would have called it in the factory.
There's a reason
why they're going down the snack well down the snack well conveyor belt and the other half are just going into just the cookie box.
There was literally no reason, like, they had no flavor difference than an Oreo, the snack wells.
No, I think it was like, it probably had 10 less calories than like a normal cookie. And they just ran with that. Is it like, I do feel a little healthier. I'm really loading up on these snack wells.
There's peanuts in
these snack wells are really filling me up.
These vanilla cream cookies.
It's pure vanilla.
It is fun eating healthy. I do like eating. Then I would fit in your scene out there in Los Angeles.
That's what we were trying to tell you.
I got my snack wells.
Yeah.
I fit it like it'd be it. I'm at your restaurant with... Can I get a snack well smoothie, please?
They also, like, places like this Cafe Gratitude, which is, like, a very hipstery, like, health food place, they make, like, healthy snack wells.
Oh. Really?
Okay.
Are we being robbed? What's going on?
I think they're being, I think they are being held up out there.
There's a gunman here?
it's like a dog day afternoon scenario out there.
The guy who took out his trash is coming in for some vengeance.
He heard what...
He's the president of Snackwells?
He went on Twitter, saw people were ripping him, and then he came down here to even the score. So let me just get this straight. This crash test thing was available. It's not available anymore. It was a 24-hour...
No. They didn't take it off.
Okay.
It's still
not
available.
A limited. It's an unlimited.
It's unlimited.
Okay, unlimited. So
you can check out Crash Test. You can go to crashtestshow.com or you go to Vimeo and $3.99 and you can get that for a long time.
Yeah, it's not, as you said, you know, now everything is digital, so there's no limit to the amount that they can make.
We're not going to try to Louis C.K. you and give you the $5 treatment. We're treating you like a real human being.
I think we said this earlier, but I mean, originally the big idea was $4. Yeah. And then, you know, again, God bless
him. I thought about the people who are our fans, and I said, you know what? I think $3.99 is better for these guys.
Just like this $4 thing. It's not, it wasn't sick.
Here's the other thing.
Why do I need to make money off of our fans, you know?
Can we throw this out? I don't like to do this, but as a special promotion just on the best show.
Yeah.
You know, if you buy the show and you tell us that you heard about it on the show, we'll come to your house and we'll watch it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just have to.
I was going to say.
Give us your home address.
I was going to.
And
I
your
was,
parents, your parents' names.
We have to make sure that it's valid. Yeah.
Give us your home address and your parents' names. We'll come to your house and we'll watch it with you.
I was going to offer up something really cool, which is if you buy the special and you tweet at us, we'll fave it. Okay. So that's a special one night only. We'll fave any tweet that you send. Mm-hmm. We're going to fave it. You just show us that receipt and we'll give you a star.
You know what?
I'm
going to go one better. If you tweet at us, we'll look at that. We'll look at it. We'll read it.
Yeah.
You know?
We won't block you.
Yeah, we're not going to block you.
You will.
We won't
not
block
be blocked.
You.
If you so somebody tweets at you,
we won't block you.
I bought Crush Test. I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We're not going to block you.
Block you.
24 hours.
No, we won't.
You're not.
We will.
For 24
not.
Hours, yeah.
For 24 hours, you don't get blocked for saying I love the thing. You made. After that.
It's fair game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're
back again. Yeah, you're back again.
You will be blocked for looking at me is what it's like. It's like it's like looking at David Letterman as he walks down the hall.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
So people go where to get it now?
They go to Vimeo and demand, or they go to crashtestshow.com. And look, it's an hour. It's a fun special. We got music. We had a mime that we cut out. We realized that miming does not necessarily translate to a show. Mm-hmm. We had Billy the Mime, the Dirty Mime.
I feel like we're plugging this a lot. And you know, if you like stuff that's good, go get it. If you don't like stuff that's good, then you know, go back to sleep.
Yeah. If you like Movie 39. You're going to like this.
Okay. So it's cut from the same cloth of that.
I don't know what movie 39
is. Is it movie? Mike would know what that title of that movie is, right?
Mike, do you know? Is it movie 42 or what is
it? Oh, no. It's like 43.
43, yeah.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Hey, Mike, are you going to buy this Crash Test thing?
No, you guys don't have to buy it. We'll give it to you.
Well, I don't know if we can actually even do that. I mean, I think we'd like to do it, but I don't even know how that works.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you my credit card.
Okay.
Four.
All right. Yeah.
Four.
Okay. All right. Hold
give on. Make sure you give them the security cover number.
Four.
Yeah.
Four.
Okay.
888.
All right.
666-7777.
He's got one of those fun Looney Tunes credit cards.
Yeah, this is a...
It's a Visa.
It's a vote. It started
with four.
So, yes. Now, second crash test thing.
Yeah.
You take the bus.
Where would we go? What town? Because there's a lot of good towns we could do another one in.
Yeah, we've talked about a couple. I like Austin. I like New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And I like Comic-Con. I like San Diego during Comic-Con would be
I got to say an easy one would be New York. New York would be easy and we'd knock it out of the park.
You're driving around.
Yeah, we just tell all of our funny
the
friends.
The issue is, though, with New York is... Yeah. You can't. We had a benefit with the bus is that we had a microphone on the inside that could yell at people on the street
on
the outside.
There's speakers on the street.
Which was immensely fun. Probably the best thing I've ever done is being able to yell at people getting money out of an ATM, people on a date, and you're a bully. You're a giant bully.
And then they're like, why is Andre from the league
yelling at me?
From a bus.
Yes.
But in New York, they have a noise restriction. You can't yell outside the bus.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got friends that work in the mayor's office.
The DOT?
Yeah.
So you figure out when, you don't have to do it at night. Right?
That's a good point.
I think it looks good at night, though, right?
It does look
good.
It looks
it.
Nice.
You could do it in the morning.
I think you take the bus. First thing you have to do is just
try to run Al Roker over with the bus.
Oh, no, like, he's going to get it.
Just some reason, he doesn't, like, run into a building. He's just running straight down the middle of a street as you guys are going after him.
What if when we ran into him, we found that he was unbreakable, like Bruce Willis's character from Unbreakable?
And then the bus, it's like one of those, like, things, like he turns and then the bus hits him and shatters because he just is standing still. There's only one way to find out.
We got to hit that guy with the bus.
You try to get him on the bus as just a guest, and then he'd be like, hey, remember us? You hung us out to dry.
You threw us under the bus.
Now we're going to throw you under the bus. Now we're literally going to throw you under our literal bus.
Let's see how it feels.
Yeah.
Tom, this is off topic.
Oh, okay. All right.
But who is...
So off topic from Crash Test, which is available on Vimeo. Okay,
thank you. Who are like some people that have come on the show that you didn't like at all? And I'm not saying that you liked this visit.
No, I like this. Well, look.
But are there people that have come on the show where in retrospect...
You're a high curator, though. You don't have a lot of guests.
There has to have been like a slip-up somewhere where someone has been like, oh, boy, I wish this guy hadn't come by.
Matt Walsh was banned just because he cursed on the radio. Yeah. But that's all fine now. It was just goofball-isms. That's all sorted out.
Had a bad guest?
I don't ask anybody to just come here. It's not like people. Yeah. Exactly. I can't have people just.
You're not like the Today Show.
You're not just the guy that wheeling
people in every couple of minutes.
If the guy that killed the lion wanted to come on and he said, "You got this."
Oh, he's been on. He's been on. He's just been on over the years.
And he was just a guy.
That's as a dentist.
Well, he's a great dentist.
He's one of your sponsors.
He's on the network. He was the first. He was going to be the first spinoff thing. It was going to be him and Fat Jew, but we're putting those both on ice now. We're kind of letting those kind of cool down a little. They're a little hot right now.
I thought Fat Jew.
What if they paired them? It was like.
The Lion Killer, the Lion Killer and the Fat and Jew.
Fat Jew, I like his show. It's called Comedy Boo Boo.
Nobody's been really bad here. It's all right.
Well, that's good.
It's good people. I try to just have.
Have you had President Barack Obama?
Not yet.
Not yet.
No.
You're going to wait till post-election.
Because you would have remembered
I was not as interested in him as like, to me, that's just like.
Yeah.
It's like, we get it.
Yeah. Can we name a guest and you say you're interested or not?
Oh, this is great.
Sure, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. All right, great. Perez Hilton.
I would talk to him, sure.
Taylor Swift.
Of course, yes.
Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Well, you really are opening an open door policy here. Russell Brand.
Sure. I would talk to Russell Brand. I read his one book.
A background guy, but not the deep background. You know, more of the foreground background actors from Mad Max, the most recent Mad Max.
Like the guy playing the guitar.
The guitar player from the most recent Mad Max.
Yeah, I would have to ask. There's a couple things that
you'd have some questions.
Yeah, just like there's no way that guy wasn't like. He must have shaved 5 years off his life
doing that
because they were clearly not like unharnessing him.
Yeah, no, no.
But they're just like, we're gonna just have to like look. This is a tricky thing now. We're gonna have the car. The thing's gonna be going 80 miles an hour.
Stay in the rig.
Just hang tight up there, buddy. Like, can someone pour water in his mouth? No, we can't get up there to even do that. We'll get you plenty of water at the end of the day.
I have a friend who is. She's a wrestler and she's also a kickboxer. Mm-hmm. And she was
Ronda Rousey.
Ronda Rousey,
the new Captain Marvel.
Rowdy Ronda Rousey.
She was Charlize's stunt double on Mad Max Fury Road for 6 months, and then Charlize showed up and said, "Oh, I want to use a different stunt double," and she was sent home. And in that 6 months that she was there, she only shot one scene, but they were working every single day.
Wow.
Wait, so this person was doing 6 months of pre-production?
Learning how to drive a big rig and a bunch
Charlize
of others.
And then showed up and was like, thank you so much. I'm going to get my person.
Yeah.
Let's do some quick calls and then we'll wrap it up here. We've got Rob Hubel and Paul Scheer here. Let me think. I would have...
The cast of Smoosh? The YouTube movie?
What's that?
Smoosh, one of the most popular YouTube channels.
Yeah. Is that kid?
Yeah, he's a little kid, yeah.
Yeah, I would have that kid on. I want to get that dude who did you watch The Chair?
No.
It's the greatest reality show ever, The Chair.
What is it on?
It's on Stars.
Is it real or a parody?
It's totally real.
Sounds like a Jason Wallener idea.
Where it sounds like a giant trap for somebody. No, it's called The Chair, and basically the point of it was done by the dude who did Project Greenlight.
Okay.
And they take one script, one screenplay, and they get two different directors to interpret the screenplay.
That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's one that Zach Quinto walked off of,
yes,
right?
Yeah, Zachary Quinto was an executive producer on it, and the one...
I don't want to brag, but he is my neighbor in Los Angeles where I live.
ZQ? You just go, hey, what's up, ZQ?
I don't even
know.
Those are maybe the clunkiest initials anyone has ever had. ZQ.
He's my neighbor, guys. Because I live in Los Angeles. Keep going, Tom. Sorry.
So the woman who did the one movie made this kind of like very earnest indie drama with like...
And then the guy from Feast. Is that the guy?
John Gulager.
John Gulager? Is that who
it was? This guy, Shane Dawson, who's like this.
Yes, he's the
internet maniac.
Yeah.
Did the filthiest movie imaginable. And then Zachary Quinto was like, I want nothing to do with this piece of garbage. Take my name off of it. And yeah, it's the greatest.
We gotta watch
my favorite
that.
Reality because you just end up shifting allegiance. You're just like, okay, she's driving me nuts now. Strangely, I find myself rooting for the other kid. But then 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, no, he just reminded me why I hate him more than her. But you keep going lower and lower with them over episode. And then you're just
what you will tolerate.
You like no one. It's just who do I like the least now on this? Let's see. Best show, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Sammy from Chicago.
Sammy from Chicago. What's going on, Sammy? You're here with me. And Paul Scheer and Rob Hubel.
Yes, it's a huge honor. I'm a big fan of all three of you.
Well, that's
thank
nice.
You, thank Sammy. You, Sammy.
I'm also a big fan of Oceanside, California.
So no,
Sammy!
Sammy!
I just want to make a quick case for you guys to pull that bus background. I don't live there anymore, but when I did live there, just a quick context, I lived in a practice space that was built in the inside of a truck repair shop, so it had no windows. And then we would be locked out of the office at night where the fridge and our hot plate were because the owner slept on the couch. And I lived there for 3 months. And so it sounds like you guys have, like, the same kind of experience. But it actually is a lovely town. Because
wait a second.
That does not sound like you did not paint a lovely picture.
You're trying to defend it by saying I was locked in a storage closet in this facility at night for a long time. And you had to pay to be a prisoner in Oceanside, California, and you were brainwashed, and you're trying to convince me that it's a nice town.
Yeah, this is not, What was good about the town?
The bars there, they're all dive bars. Like, you can't find anything. But
again, you're not selling me. You are not selling me.
But they're all named after things that, like, drunk old men might yell at you when you're near them.
Like what?
One of them is called... One more, that's it, with an exclamation point in the title.
Well, now you've sold me.
Wait, I'm back on board with Oceanside.
They have dive bars with awkward names.
Give me one more example of a dive bar that has some sort of exclamatory remark in its title.
Okay, well, this one, it had like an exclamatory action. So this one was only called the River Bottom, but someone had driven their truck through a wall. And they just, instead of fixing it, they put a tarp up because it's Oceanside. It doesn't really get cold there. And after a while, this beautiful foliage had just grown over the wall. So they took the tarp down and just left it without a wall and had leaves. It's beautiful.
Right. This sounds like the biggest dirtbag town of all time.
I don't know. I think she sold me. It sounds charming.
You're going back. Yeah. You're ready to go back.
I like it.
Well, it's like a Walking Dead bar.
Oh, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Sammy.
Thank you.
Hope you get out of that cell.
Best show, you're on the air. No? Okay. Best show, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Tampa. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you? What are you doing?
I'm all right.
What are you doing in Tampa tonight?
Well, had something for the topic.
All right. Who should be a new Doctor Who? What do you got?
Well, I got one. I got one from England.
Who's that?
Matt Lucas as Pompidou as Doctor Who.
All right. Matt Lucas is funny. I like that. Thank you.
I think the first strip bar I ever went to in my whole life was in Tampa. I think there's a place there called the Mons Venus.
Uh-huh.
And
Mike is...
It's a bummer. It's a real bummer of a place. It's like, yeah.
I went to a strip club.
And I went there as a young man, as a very young man, and I was like, I shouldn't be seeing these people.
I remember I went to a strip club. I think the first strip club I ever went to may have been in Montana, and you could eat breakfast food in the front. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I walked in the back to the strip club, one of the performers was just having a casual conversation with one of the patrons, as if they were friends. Like, oh yeah, so next weekend we'll go there. Yeah, 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 we'll go there next weekend. She was just on stage, and they just were just chat casual.
Yeah, small town strip bars. That's a different.
Yeah, it's
a whole different experience.
Sounds like a nice
You would like it, Tom.
Thank you. Tampa, Mons Venus?
Mons Venus in Tampa, Florida.
All right.
Write it down. Do they have a Twitter?
Best Show, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, who's this?
It's Paul from Etobicoke.
From where?
Etobicoke.
It's part of Toronto.
Okay. What's going on tonight, Paul? Warm night there?
They got a brewery in Etobicoke.
There's a couple.
Yeah, okay.
And it's really hot, too. Mm-hmm. But I want to echo something that you...
You walking around? What are you doing up there? You walk, like, a warm night like tonight, you walk around?
No, I'm staying inside. Uh-huh. I got the nice air conditioning. Okay. But I want to echo...
But earlier tonight, you ate dinner, go for a nice stroll, right? Then suddenly... You feel that thing you try to fight, right? Then you just find yourself.
I bought no bunny ticket.
Looking in a window, right? Right? The peeping.
No,
you can't stop it. And the urge overtakes you. Next thing you know, you're watching TV through someone else's window. Is that how your night went, Paul? You're watching Trailer Park Boys. through a window, watching people watch Trailer Park Boys. I can hear that. You have that peeper gene in you. You just sound like a peeper, right? So go ahead. What are you talking? What do you want to say, Paul? Now that you're inside,
okay,
and you fought it. You put the thing to rest for one more night. Tomorrow will be a new fight to resist staring in a window. But what?
By the way, this sounds, this should be a TV show. I mean, it's, peeper buster, peeper cop, something like that. Where
it's like Rear Window.
It's like you're a guy and you drive around in like an old Cutlass.
You got a step stool in the trunk.
Yeah, and you look around for peepers, and when you find them, you yell at
but
them.
But you're a former peeper, so you know the
what they're
mentality
wrestling with.
Better than anyone else.
Because it never goes away. The desire to peep never goes away.
No, it's always there within you.
But that's
the windows.
That's the worst addiction
because there's windows everywhere.
There are.
Yeah. Always windows.
Yeah. Right, Paul? What are you doing?
Taking that Ontario Highway 427 to the 401?
He's over on the Wikipedia page of Etobicoke.
No, I don't even drive.
Like, well, okay, what do you got, buddy? I got to wrap the show.
Sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
For the topic, okay, Marky Smith.
Okay, we got that
Morrissey.
One. Who?
Morrissey,
okay.
Marky Smith.
Yeah.
Steve Albini.
Steve Albini as Doctor Who would be pretty good.
Harry Brownstein. And
is there a lot
it'll
of
be the base god.
Okay. All right.
And that's what I got.
Well, my friend, you have a grand evening and fight the urge. Go get professional help for this peeping thing.
Stop peeping.
Yes.
Stop peeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, and your character, Tom, is tormented.
Well, you're like a parole officer for the people.
Because, you know, you hate these guys, but you identify with these
guys. You're a reformed peeper. You also used to peer. You knew what it was like, and you hang around with Mike, who's still in the game. He's still in the game, but
he's still
in the game.
It's all set up. In episode two, you slip up. Yeah. And you peep just a little taste.
Time. Well, you know,
just
you peep
taste.
Him.
I can
he leaves the bar and you go to the window and you watch him get into the car and you're like, I think this is the start of a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. And then I'm just in the car just screaming at myself, punching the steering wheel
or the roof.
Fight it! Fight it!
No!
And then just...
Catch a glimpse of yourself in your own rearview mirror, and that kind of does a little bit of the trick for
like
you.
Like peeping.
Peeping
at
yourself.
At myself. And then I watch a Yankee game through someone's window, like...
eating popcorn.
Yeah. Just
out of a bag.
Watching a family watch Frozen.
Let it go. Let it go. It speaks to you because you need to let it go.
Yeah, I know the score.
Well, we can't get the rights to that song, so we gotta.
So no, we'll make it. I'll watch a family.
Look, we know. Look, we live in Hollywood. We know Josh Gad. We'll talk to somebody.
Sure. Well, I do. I have a meeting with his pod next week, so that's pretty exciting. Gadzooks.
Do you have Josh Gad ideas?
Is it Gadzooks?
It's Gadzooks.
You got some Gads ideas?
We're just doing. Yeah, I'm bringing some Gads ideas.
Some Gads ideas.
And now, is one of the ideas that little green
gadzooks.
That little green Martian from the Flintstones who used to pop in?
Hurry, Tweetor, to the X1 space modulator.
Fred.
I'll have him. I'll pitch it a Flintstones thing from the point of view of a futuristic alien who decides to go all the way back.
Flintstones really became creatively bankrupt. With like they became cops at one point. Yeah. Barney and Fred were cops, and then
an
the
alien.
Great Gazoo was in there.
An alien. They were like, I don't know. Just put an alien in there.
It's like
caveman.
Let's step it up. Purples and Bam Bam in the band.
Brady Bunch runs out of things because it's just like, we all live in a house together, so we add a cousin to liven up these stories.
Oliver.
This is cavemen. Yeah. And they ran out of ideas.
Anything.
They couldn't think of new things to do with cavemen.
Anything. Just move them into the future. Just give them a little bit. Just
we
give
did
them.
It all.
But we could call Nick Kroll right now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what did cavemen do?
Cavemen. Nick Kroll was on the little scene. ABC spinoff of the Geico commercial caveman.
Yeah. Now, people have said that the Flintstones took place on Earth, and then the Jetsons is, like, up above it.
Yeah.
Like
simultaneously?
That's
a theory?
Like that movie Elysium.
Oh.
Like, it's like...
I didn't see that.
It's just like
so
George Jetsons...
George is like Jodie Foster up there.
Yeah, up in their little space capsule, in their little space palace.
Wait, is Flintstones a post-apocalyptic world?
And if you fall down, you end up in caveman times. If, like, or you get, like, low status... You get, like, removed from future, which is...
You can't get, like, that cancer cure after you get a nice suntan.
No, they bounce you down, and you get torn to shreds by the cavemen down there.
Or a brontosaurus.
Or you find yourself, now you're... But you know what would make it the best is if they put you through some machine that turned into, like, a service bird? Like...
And it's like living.
The record needle bird.
Yeah.
By the way, every bird. It was the photo bird, the vacuum bird, the washing bird.
Because you could be what if those were humans who were just mutated into service animals because they violated... What if those were like criminals?
It's like... It's
like space criminals. They turn them into service birds.
Hey, it's a living.
Yeah.
Better than jail.
Yeah, they turn you into a woolly mammoth vacuum cleaner, right? Because you were offender.
Yeah. Well, then they never made that. There were no sex offender characters.
Well, now, your punishment is to be inside a vacuum for the next 10 years.
Yes, is to eat dirt for the rest of your days. You need you now have a trunk and you now
sniff dirt.
You just sniff dirt until you die. And on that note, my friends. I'm going to tell you all the best show is coming to a close. Not forever, for this week. Final thing, true or false, the crash test thing is entertaining.
True.
Okay.
Of course.
True or false, it's very hard to figure out how to buy it.
False.
That's false.
Here, I'm going to say one thing, though. People might be daunted. I've never bought anything on Vimeo before. Uh-huh. It's shockingly easy to buy something on Vimeo. Okay. I would like to just point that out.
All right.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
True or false, this thing is completely bereft of stars.
False.
Okay.
It's actually... I didn't even mention this part. We live in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And a lot of our
friends. Oh, yeah. Did we tell you that?
Because that gives you access to the. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our friends.
I mean, we had all the big ones in there. Kate Hudson, Dax Shepard,
Owen Wilson,
Kristen Bell. Uh-huh. Had Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy actually did buckwheat in this special.
In this. So he's back.
He wouldn't do it for SNL for you, but he did it for us. He just wanted to save it for our
So I'm going to say, final true or false question, true or false, people should buy this if they like to laugh.
Please, please
true.
Do.
No,
and,
true. No, true. But the answer is true or false. True.
And remember, the faves, we're going to give out those faves.
The faves, people, fave. They buy it, then they take their thing over to Twitter, let you know they bought it, they will not get blocked.
That's and you just got to use the hashtag, I bought this after listening to Best Show.
Yeah.
That's the hashtag.
Sure. Okay, and then they have three characters.
Well, I've said this a couple times before, but like if my mom is listening to this, mm-hmm. you know, don't buy this.
Okay.
The steps for your mom to find this show and listen to it mm-hmm. would be.
But if you're not my mom, mm-hmm. I do think you should buy it because you're going to get it.
All right.
Yeah.
My friends, thank you, Paul Scheer. Thank you, Rob Hubel, for coming by.
We enjoyed ourselves.
Thank you so much. Now, let me tell you all a little business. Sharpling and Worcester playing live on the West Coast. We are going to be in Seattle at Numo's on the 25th, right? 25th, I think. Do I really have to look these up again? I don't have these memorized yet. You have to look these dates up. I will. I'll look them up again. Let's see. Oh, the 27th. See, that's why I had to look it up again. Thursday the 27th, Seattle, Washington at Numo's. Saturday the 29th, Portland, Oregon, sold out. Thursday, September 3rd, San Francisco, the Great American Music Hall. Saturday, Los Angeles, Dale Ray Theater, September 5th. You can buy tickets. You go over to Stereo Laughs. That's laffs.com/tour for links to go to all the places to buy the tickets. I want to also tell you about the guy who does so much artwork for the Best Show, Jeff T. Owens. He's a truly great artist. You see him up at the website, thebestshow.net. He's done so many things for the show. He did the cover of the Best Show magazine. He's a really, seriously great artist. His store is open, mymetalhand.com. You go check it out and buy some stuff there from him. He's a really amazing artist, can't recommend the stuff that he does enough. One of my absolute favorite people and one of my favorite artists, and it is a privilege to work with him. So go over to mymetalhand.com and check his stuff out. We'll be back next week, and thanks everybody for listening, and let's hear something. We're going to play another thing on Flannelgraph. How about that? Don Mura, one of my favorites. We're going to hear something from him, from his 68, 69 recordings. We all need each other. Here's something called Pushing Me Down. Let's check this out, and we will talk to you next week.